Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Greetings, Ogling, Wigger, and Mamzer, Ass Clowns, across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain. This is Pastor Martin Luther Dzerzhinsky Lindstedt, and this is episode number 39. Under the Big Top, under the Big Tent / Big Top on 10-10-10 at 10. Now, it's actually more like 10-19 Central Standard Time p.m. So essentially, Eli James and the rest of the true believers or wanna-believers, wanna-be-believers, have already gone ahead and packed it in for the night, which is just as well. Anyway, guest number two, I was guest number two at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Essentially, that was real nice, and pretty well I got a list of what was going on, but they didn't even go ahead and tell, or didn't have this thing very well organized to where you knew in advance, or at least I knew in advance, what was going on. Essentially, what happened was I was looking at some of the people on there, and they were giving me an earful here about how mean I was to pull Matt Twatzogbot, Sword Mamzer, and the rest of these idiots, and I just pretty well said, wow, asking me and John Britton give a shit. Now, right now, I'd be playing special music. I was looking for Hump Diggity Dog Diggity, Oomph, I'm a Circus Clown, Oomph, I'm a Circus Clown. But anyway, I couldn't find it on YouTube. And I was looking for just maybe a little piece here to where you have this little circus music where it says dee 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 dee. Because the fact of the matter is that once you end up having a big tent in Christian Identity, you end up having a big top. You have a circus tent in Christian Identity, and you're going to end up, if you're not careful, and you're simply telling them to behave themselves and making them do so, you're going to end up with having big top. And you're going to be the ringleader, the ringmaster, as best you can, and you're not really going to be the master, but you're going to have at least three or four rows of ass clowns running around or running amok about you and essentially making a monkey out of you. So, but then again, that happens about everywhere. It happens in the bowel movement. It happens on forums. It happens pretty well about everywhere. And essentially about two or three days ago, Friday night, we end up having old Matt Twatzog, Sword Mamzer, and he was screaming and hollering about how me and John Britton had insulted his family name, and we went ahead and said truthfully that we would insult his family name, but essentially we didn't know what his family name was, but we heard it was a WAP name, and they looked like a Puerto Rican. So we said, well, truthfully, that we couldn't insult his family name, but if he would give us his family name, we would be sure to insult it some. And then we went ahead, and we told about how Sword Mamzer, when he looked at, he's like the Puerto Rican who looked up his family tree and, and a nigger shit in his face. Yeah, that's what happens when you go ahead and look up your family tree when you're Puerto Rican. Same thing happened to the poor, same happened to the poor, poor nigger who looked up his family tree, a gorilla shit in his face here. I mean, that's sort of mean, but the trouble of it is that it's, it's sort of accurate, though. You know what I mean? And, hey, Bach, I'm glad you could go ahead and make it. Well, what happens? He's probably a nimbuster, and he's having fun. And who cares here? Poor old Sword Mamzer. You know what I mean? So it don't really matter. What happens is that I was listening to a lot of, I was listening to that. Essentially, with what was going on at 10-10-10, you had a whole bunch of people. And some of these people, absolute fakers here, like Sword Mamzer and the rest here. And I don't even see why. I mean, shoot. They know he has a Italian name, and he has cork-colored eyes, and he looks like a Puerto Rican. Why in the world are they having anything to do with him? And the fact of the matter is that, shoot, the legitimate ones, why, they have a real name. They have a real name. I imagine this is Greg Howard, why he's a legitimate person. And some of these people are legitimate. Some of these people, why, they're just altogether frauds. Well, like Judas the Juice and the rest here. Old Judas was sort of keeping in. But essentially what we ended up having was, you know, a whole bunch of chimping out over on Bill Fink's forum. A lot of it. Friday. Today's the night of 10-10-10. I'll probably end up having about a 3-hour show, maybe a little bit longer. I mean, this may end up turning into a Fidel cast. Oh, but by the way, I want to go ahead, and here's the breaking news. I'm not going to go ahead and dick around with it. I'm just going to go ahead and give it to you. I went ahead and called this old guy in Ohio who manages he manages the trust fund for the Church of the Sons of Yahweh. And pretty well, what ended up happening is that, I went ahead and said, hey, who's this Charlie Thorne who claims to be a mullet and gullet, both in with mullet, you know, gullet and with mullet here? Have you ever heard of him? And he said, no. I said, no, he's probably a liar, because essentially he went ahead and was disrespectful to Pastor John Britton. And you got to understand that Pastor John Britton has been the senior pastor of the Church of the Sons of Yahweh / Legions of the Saints longer than Morris Gallet has been. Ray Redford, he died. He died soon after he went ahead and chartered his church in 2003, about 6-8 months after he chartered his church in 2003. And Gallet, he's been in prison for, 5 years? He didn't really, wasn't allowed pretty well. John Britton was the acting senior pastor from December 2005 until, July, August, something like that, until about 2 months ago. So this guy is either a newbie or he never existed because, John Britton, he didn't barely hear of the goofy bastard. So I think he's some little Jew boy who's going here with some little name, causing trouble. He was calling me a Chelmo and all this sort of shit. Fighting with Matt Twat Zogbot, Sword Mancer. So I went ahead and asked him, well, have you ever heard of him? This little guy, never heard of him. But, the guy's been written in books here. He's been a Klansman since his 20s or so. And pretty well, he's the guy who pretty well runs things, under Ray Redfern and, under Gallet. And essentially, he's an 80-some-year-old white guy who, he's a stand-up old guy here. And him and I became fairly good friends here. And pretty well, he told me the truth about, when I was locked up in the nut house. It's okay, there is indeed a trust fund. Some Nazi died, and he left about $1 million or so dollars of state. And Ray Redford's Church of Sons of Yahweh, gets 40% of it. So that works to $400,000. And over the last couple of years, it's improved by $100,000. So it's about $500,000, and they're supposed to pay it out, but in 50 years. Well, usually they should be paying out $10,000 a year. And if Gallet had the $10,000 a year, you would have no problem with this crap here. Gallet wouldn't have to be chasing after the mullets and the August Christ vermin and all these idiots. I mean, he could be like me. I mean, I live pretty good on $10,000 income. Gallet should be able to go ahead and live without having to work or having to sell a single major generalship here. He could go ahead and have a real organization of real people who essentially quietly work with them. But no, he had to sign up because, he didn't want to work. Well, to cut it short here, one of my spies has a sock puppet account on the Mullet and Gullet forum, and pretty well what happened is that I noticed the liar billed the Clueless. He went ahead and changed his name to Aryan Warhog. I mean dog. Aryan Wardog, not hog, but, he should have been Aryan Warhog. But what happens, then he became the leader not only of, Gallet's Church of Legion of Saints in Missouri. I'm pretty well pissed off because I used to be Gallet's, Legion of Saints. And I got kicked out because I wanted to geld regime criminal Whigger's sons and, have their daughters raped and do prion poisoning and really make the tribulation a fun and happy learning experience. But Joe Johnson was a big pussy, and he went ahead and he worked to kick me out, and then Gallet, without even, on August 5th, and then on August 9th, without me even getting a chance, he went ahead and kicked me out here. And then you end up having a whole bunch of shit from the damn church. So Gallet really screwed me over. you know, and I really don't go let an ass kick him, but what I want to do is I want to go let's have an actual church, you know what I mean, sort of forgive and forget. Well, not forget, but, you know, at least sort of forgive. And pretty well I urged, you know, after Joe Johnson screwed over the church, why, you know, it was banging everybody, and Glenn screwed up his own church here. You really can't blame Joe Johnson. Anymore, you can blame Mods Monster, Mods Mamser here for running amok here. It's because Breck, you know, Breck Elkins and Zed allows them to run wild here. You know, they're the ones to blame for all this fuck-uppery. But anyway, John Britton took over. So, you know, pretty well, you know, I was pretty well, you know, telling about, you know, Liability Clueless. And Liability Clueless is a worthless piece of shit who, if you go ahead and look up his record, you know, his criminal record on the Missouri CaseNet, you know, heck, he didn't wait to be arraigned 17, 18 days after, you know, after he got, you know, an information. Why, he had a deal 5 days afterwards. It was a suspended imposition of sentence. And anybody who's seen, you know, Clan of Mamsers on season 5, episode 2, they call it Clan of Killers, but nobody was killed. I prefer to call it Clan of Mamsers, you know, the Ron Edwards, you know, pathetic clan. You can see Liability just doing like he did a year ago. You know, he was down here a year ago. He left a year and a day ago, and Liability was just sitting there just like a stupid lump of shit. You know, 85 IQ on a good day, and he was just pretty well soaking in information here to go ahead and lie about. And I told the old guy is that, you know, Gillette needs to dump his worthless ass. Well, guess what? From what I gather, yesterday morning, while I was sleeping, well, I'm a little sort of tired here because, I had to do a number of things yesterday. While I was sleeping here, what happens is that there was Night of the Long Dorks here, and three tards, you know, have been named as traitors, and one of them is Major General Gordon, who used to be a colonel, but who was a major general, and who now is just another piece of treasonous dog shit. He's been booted out. And Arian Warhawk, / Liability Clueless, he's been, you know, booted out. And from what I gather, you know, the sock puppet or the spy who went ahead and looked didn't know who the third tard is. And they're not really saying, but guess what? The former Arian Nations / Our Race Is Our Nation / Church of Jesus Christ Christian is now the American National Socialist Party. It's no longer the Aryan Nations. So I think what happens, no longer do we have mullets and gullets, we just have mullets. So I don't know who the third traitor is, but essentially, yeah, I probably should have gone ahead and looked at the webpage, but essentially I noticed a big old purge, you know, earlier this morning, and I didn't think nothing of it because I didn't have my spy getting on there, but essentially they went from about 80-some, you know, members down to 72, which means that they purged, about 10, 12, and they seem like they're quarrelsome, goofy, you know, they're a bunch of quarrelsome, goofy bastards anyway. So, yeah, they do stupid shit, and, you know, they're gone, you know what I mean? But, in any case, someday I'll read Evola, but, I don't really read. I go ahead and I read lots of Star, and I read something that I really like, but generally I don't read intellectual crap because mostly it's just some idiot who has his notion. You know, he has this freaking notion of doing something or another here. But anyway, I was telling this old guy in Ohio to go ahead and check on some of these people, and the answer of it is, you know, and also check on Bradley Jenkins. And, you know, what happened to Bradley Jenkins? And I sort of think, you know, that, you know, pretty well, you know, the mullets and the gullets have had a, you know, have come to a little fork in the road here where there just wasn't enough nickel bags for enough of everybody. So, you know, so what happens is that Liability Clueless, why he's gone here and let's go ahead and say, you know, Shane Whitlire, Bill DeCluse can't show up here because what happens is that he's not even welcome among Oba Gender Bendering Pisser's poster possum here. We've got all of four members, but when Liar Bill tried to go ahead and join, what happens is Oba Gender Bendering Pisser's poster possum claimed that, you know, Liar Bill was me. Now, of course, Oba Gender Bendering Pisser's poster possum knew that it wasn't me, knew it was Liar Bill, but essentially the pisser possum, Liar Bill is essentially a commodity that nobody wants anymore. I mean, what do you do? I mean, what do you do with an 85, you know, what do you do with an 85 IQ, niglet niece molesting, 250 pounds of dog shit, 150 pound sack, kook, clug, clown of Clan Niglet Chester? I mean, what do you do with a critter like that here? I mean, you know, people don't even know what to do with a Ku Klux Klan of Clan Niglet Chester, then they don't know what to do with a drunken sailor. You know what I mean? Maybe that's why I'll play. What do you do with a drunken sailor here? And, you know, I mean, I'll go ahead and maybe change it. What do you do with a retard wigger? But anyway, what I'm going to do is, speaking of that, it's only been about 15 or so minutes into the show. And what happens is that for the benefit of Roxy's being able to go ahead and sleep, I'm going to go ahead and play here in a minute. So I got him in the right hole. Yep, I got him in the right hole this time. And so like the young lady from Brighton, who told her, who the sailor said, "My, you're a tight one." You know, she said, "Your great big long pole is in the wrong hole, and I sure as hell wish you'd find the right one." Anyway. I wonder what the hell he meant by that. Anyway, but the young lady from Brighton. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and play. We're going to go ahead and play the theme song to this show's program. Oh, shoot, they say they have a download error. Oh, they're just so full of it. Oh, come on. It's unfair here when... You know, when you can't go ahead and get things done where you want. But then again, I mean, I'm not going to whine. I'm not going to whine like Oba Gender Bendering Pisser's Poster Possum and the rest of it here.
New York, just the city I was looking for.
Ah.
And I can get there on the 8:15 for not bad. I can buy.
Come on, you stupid thing.
Pre-tour scouting. Impressive. All the best museums have columns. Wow, that's big. Look at the size of those ribs. Oh,
get done with the commercial, you idiot.
Fired. Perfect. Now, after lunch.
Hey, are we ready to go? Are we ready to go? I think we're ready to go. Get the stupid, retarded rib commercial over. Yes, I am, man. We got a wigger problem, which is always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stoop the wigger you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem, fill the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. I wake up and right away, the big wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, the big wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit. We got a wigger problem, which is always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stoop the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem, fill the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. treasures keep remembering how good dog used to be. Being caught long stoned, our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem, which is always on my mind. The way they went to and fro, situations you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Fill the drop up to the top. The way they went to and fro, and they're always easy pop. The way wiggers went to and fro, and they're always easy pop. Now, folks, if you're wondering whether it's live or it's Memorex, let me assure you it's sort of live, you know what I mean? It's more alive than a sack of pretending fisher possums, in fact. Anyway, I have fun doing it, and singing this here, you know what I mean? Yeah. Well, what's that truck doing on the dance floor? Well, that's Susie here, sucking the leg nuts. Oh, yeah, sucking the leg nuts off of here. That's what's happening. Anyway, I really sort of enjoy singing that song here, when it works here. And anyway, one of these days, it'll probably not be alive here, and I won't have near as much fun. It'll be a little bit better. You'll have a little bit, better acoustics here, but it's sort of fun singing about stupid wiggers, because it's wiggers who go ahead and fuck shit up real bad. Anyway, where was I? I'm going to go ahead and save the chat so far. Okay. Anyway. So that's what happened, and nobody really knows. I mean, from what I gather, they were a little bit tight-lipped here, and my spy went ahead and sent me. He went ahead and sent me not all the little fluff here. He just went ahead and sent me the HTML code here, so it looks there. Let's go ahead and see if I can't go ahead and read the. What stupid crap is happening over with the molts and the gullets. Okay, go to the right thing here. All right, we'll go to Aryan Nations, molts and gullets. And I'll go ahead and look in the October file. And where else are here? Oh, General Young. He says that General Young, get this here. Let's see if I can't find it. Okay. General Young. Hold on. What this one says, is he still online? And what happens is that the guy from who runs it from, Bonita Springs, Florida, says he has been terminated for high treason against the party. Okay, and somebody says, please PM me and tell me what happened. Well, I don't know. What happens is that when you lay down with molts and gullets, why, you wake up with, pisser possums in some cases here. But anyway, I can think of three right now. Okay, that's the name of that here. And essentially, old Paul Molt here, he's acting like he's Hitler in 1944 here, but I'm wondering who played Van Stauffenberg. Paul Molt, I director. I hope that dagger they stabbed you in the back with finds its way back to them in a bad karma sort of way. And from what I gather, this shit was occurring at 3 a.m. is what the timestamp says. Now, they have a bunch of crap here, and they still have this Aryan Nation stuff, but they've gone ahead and changed it to something else here. So, I was going ahead and looking, and on one of the things, it was obvious that the Aryan warthog, I mean dog, was no longer allowed in here. So he got banned sometime, but Bradley Jenkins was disappeared, so I went ahead and asked the old guy what happened to old Brad, you know, old Gillette's old cokehead buddies, you know, which was the reason he joined the Mullets, and, you know, him and his wife was gone. But now he's not national director. He's, well, his email still says national director at Aryan Nations 88, but it says Reichsführer Paul Mullet. So what happens is that now he's not, you know, now he's not national director. He's freaking Reichsführer. Let me go ahead and let's see if the SPLC has gone ahead. Now, folks, probably the SPLC will find out all about this stupid shit. And the reason they'll find out about this stupid shit is they'll go ahead and download the Movement Third probably Tuesday here. Okay, let's go ahead. Cap in SPLC, comma, ARY. A-N. Okay. N. Ah. N. Ah. B. All right. I don't know. Hold on, folks. Alrighty, well, I don't know. Still have this sort of thing. Okay, well, they're admitting as of August 27, the SPLC goes ahead. And essentially, a lot of the stuff is written by me here, so I know what I already wrote here. Well, I guess the SPLC doesn't know about it yet. Oh, well, no big deal. Folks, I mean, this is truly breaking news because they ran amok what, less than 24 hours ago. But then again, I mean, muck running is what these tars do anyway. You know what I mean? So, oh, Hadding, you know, well, Hadding, you know, Hadding, essentially, Wiggerswill and Hadding, I think they're going to get a free pass tonight here because we're talking about the big tent. And essentially, Pierce didn't have a big tent. He just had a small tent of create tars. You know what I mean? And the creators, why, they just run amok anyway. So they still remind us that there was nary a Christian to be found among, you know, the big tent of Pierce's Targe. But somehow them evil Christians, why, they're responsible here for the National Alliance imploding. Well, yeah, travel trailer. Anyway. So, you go ahead and you look at it, and the idea is lurks in spies, but what happens is probably tomorrow is, what, it's Columbus Day? Well, maybe the ADL will be in there tomorrow here to go ahead and show solidarity with the poor red niggers who got screwed over by the evil white man in the form of Columbus here. I think Columbus is known as a colonialist here and an asshole and all this sort of thing, so... Generally, what happens is that probably Columbus Day isn't going to go ahead and be held very much here. You know what I mean? So, I mean, guess number four. Are you a National Alliance creator or something like that? I mean, you seem to know a lot more about it here, but there are people who really knew quite a bit about Pierce here, other than the fact that he got $400,000 from the order. I mean, somehow they don't seem to have gone ahead and figured that out. You know what I mean? So, let me see. Anyway, that is the breaking news, and I went ahead and called, you know, my friend here, and maybe he'll show up tonight and call in. But we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, in short, I mean, what ended up happening with the Mullets and Gullets? I mean, I called this old guy. And in 15 minutes, I said, well, I better go ahead and do some real quick last-minute research. And then I found out all about this stupid crap. And by the way, the Molten Gullet show was canceled you know, was canceled just recently. Here we will be posting radio shows by our Reichsführer, Paul Mullen. He still has the Aryan Nations that, you know, or what, I'm national director or something here. But they'll no longer, I mean, they haven't scrubbed off the former stuff here. And, you know, as a result, I don't know. I mean, these tards are running wild. I would not be surprised. I'll go ahead and look at Pastor's Corner and see if they got rid of Mullet yet. And I don't think they have. You know, let me go ahead and see. I'll see if they got rid of. But anyway, what happens is that the Aryan Warhog, he's out on his ass. Well, at least he's with the Mullets. I don't know if he's out on his ass with the gods. Well, let me see. Let's look at contacts here. Maybe that's the first thing he probably scrubbed off here. You know what I mean? So, anyway. Let's go ahead and look. Well, they have an Iowa State contact and a North Dakota State contact. So, it looks like Liar Bill, he's out on his poor. Yeah, well, the Midwest sector is part of Missouri here, so Aryan Warhawk, he's out on his, you know, fat ass. Let's go ahead and look at the Northeast. Well, all that's left is the Michigan here. Yep, the Major General, he's been kicked out with nary a nickel bag to his name here. Yep, poor old Major General Gordon here. You know, the Goofy Bastard, you know, essentially called me a chomo, even though he had to go to trial for, you know, for rape or something like that here. You know, whereas my, you know, charges, they're so bogus that they fell apart, we didn't even get to a preliminary hearing and they had to be dismissed. Of course, I wouldn't go ahead and suck dog's ass here. And so I ended up going ahead and getting to go ahead and eating Big Swill or whatever. Anyway, so I'm looking at this here. Well, you might be tapped. Well, that's nice. I'm looking at this here. Well, okay. Well, hey. I didn't know Linder had a mother here. I knew he had a grandmother, but I didn't know Linder had a mother. So, they're cycling my CPU here. Okay. Well, what happens, he not only took it the first opportunity, old Liar Bill, he took a plea bargain. Before he was due to be arraigned. He was supposed to be arraigned in 21, 23 days. And he ended up going ahead and having a plea bargain ready for him at day 5 after he got indicted. Why, shoot. I mean, they had a deal for Liar Bill. Liar Bill took it here even before he got arraigned. And Liar Bill has never told me how much shock time he had to do. It said he had to do some shock time. He had to give up the weapon. Liar Bill ain't telling me that. But he had a suspended imposition of sentence. And he was a good little boy. He was a very good little boy. And then, 2001, why, his sentence was over here. But I bet he's still spying here. I mean, he doesn't really have, real means of support. But, Plummer's not low here. I'm going to go ahead and blow my nose again here. Somebody was calling me up and taking me to task for taking an online piss. During my Thursday night show. And I said, well, the thing about it is when you're juggling a cell phone, in your right hand, it's sort of hard to go ahead and screw the cap of the piss jug, and then just, hope that everything will go ahead right. And I just must admit that I was out here and essentially took a big old tinkle into the toilet bowl. But Poopy Dog was barricaded out. He's still sort of barricaded out, but I think he's psychologically, because he ain't barricaded out, he can go ahead and bust him any time. Off, he's underneath my chair. Underneath my chair. It's getting sort of cold, so probably he's snuggled up underneath the water, the sheets of the waterbed here, probably. He got a little sleep bath 2 days ago, and he sort of looks at me dubious here because I'm the one who goes ahead and hands him over to Roxy, and she's the one that gives him the sleep bath. So he forgives me first here, but Roxy's sort of second. So, old Bell's a pup. He can get sort of huffy real easy. Anyway, Yeah, he's a turd buster here. You know what I mean? Well, the thing about it is that I've only been yakking, you know, this is not even a Fidelathon yet here. I haven't been on the air more than, 40 minutes or so. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, there was one show, you know, they called me the Fidel Castro of Christian Identity, and this was a 5-hour and 47-minute show. It was a little bit long even for me, but on the other hand, I can go ahead and talk without a rope here. And some people wish there was a rope involved. But anyway, yeah, sword man's or something like that here. Old Matt Twat, let's go ahead and get to old Matt Twat Zogbot and the stupid shit that's going on over at old Bill's, you know. And the thing about it is that what I heard on 1010 is I heard a lot of genuine people, a lot of genuine Christian identity people. A lot of them. Most of them, in fact. But you end up having some of these people who go ahead and they're just part of a pretense here, like Sword Manzer. And folks, if you end up having somebody going ahead and preaching to the congregation, of all things, you should know, you know, Zog knows who he is, and they know his name is Brian something or another. You know, they know who he is. Zog knows who he is, so who is he keeping a secret from? And who is he keeping, you know, his last name a secret from? Who is he keeping his face a secret from? And the answer is he's keeping his face, name and face, a secret from, well, me and a few other people, you know, especially most of Christian identity. And like it says in Isaiah, that the show of their countenance does testify against them, and I'm pretty sure that the show of sword man's countenance does testify against him. So knowing that, why in the world are you going ahead and concealing the name and identity in the face of someone who you're going ahead putting as equal to a pastor? Now, folks, no, I mean, the thing about it is that you can't go ahead and logically make fun of Pete Peters for having a pet Jew named Charles Weissman and having a nigger of the month if you're going to end up having a long-term Mamzer relationship to where the Mamzer is not only within the congregation of Israel, but is essentially instructing them on what to do. That's not, well, I ain't going to say kosher, but that's not right. Folks, and the thing about it is that the little Friday night chimp out that happened over on Thanks forum here, you know, essentially is the same stupid shit that's been happening. And it hadn't happened, you know, until, you know, some guy named Victor Switzer went ahead and he came up with this here little picture of Beelzebub, and I thought it was funny. So essentially you end up having a chance for all the Genesis 3:15 enmity to go ahead and show up. And that's exactly what happened. For example, let me see. Okay. Nope, ain't there. All righty. I'm going to go ahead and log in. And probably one of these days I'm going to end up being banned for what I say. The fact of the matter is that somebody needs to go ahead and tell the truth. And these people do not know how to behave. They don't know how to act. They think, just like all these little Jews and the rest, they sort of think that they're fooling somebody. But they're not. They're not fooling anybody. You know, what they do is that they don't fool anybody. I mean, essentially, big chimping and acting up and the rest of the stupid crap is not a Christian identity value. And pretty well, you end up having Matt Twat Zogbot and Juice and Juice 6 months ago. What they did is that they tried to go ahead and lure my friend Pastor John Britton up into the main forum and essentially use that as an excuse to go ahead and ban him. And you end up having Matt Twat, Zogbot, threatening to go ahead and ban me. Why? Well, because, well, I was nice to them. I wasn't polite to them. Now, what happened Friday, is let me go ahead and see. It's Martin Lynn's stench of 10,000 Turd Lords. Anyway, what they already had to do is earlier, old Sword Mamzer was saying, he went ahead and showed a little map leading from Cincinnati, where the critter lives, and supposedly Cincinnati is, you know, pretty much nigger town too, all the way to Granby, Missouri. And then you have this guy named Charles Thorne, and he claims to be Church of the Sons of Yahweh, Legion of Saints, Church of Jesus Christ, Christian Aryan Nations. Well, I don't think there's even a Church of Jesus Christ, Christian Aryan Nations anymore. From my gear, I doubt he's even a mullet and a gullet. But you end up saying, I figure if I'm going to be in Springfield next month, which I might as well stop by and say hello to Marty. Maybe show me around Granby and tell me everything about everything, how I'm living life wrong and need to learn things the Granby way. And maybe he just ended running his mouth off and ended up with a few little teeth or something like that. And he goes ahead, and says, if I'm going to call him a Sicilian nigger and mamzer, when I'm anything but, then you better believe I'm ready to lay the hurt down on him if he ever agrees to step up and face me in a match. He's basically crapping all over not just me, but my entire family, my parents, grandparents, etc. If I was in a cell block, he was talking like that, I'll probably be in the hole. He'd be certainly in the infirmary. Blah, 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 blah. If I were in prison with him, I wouldn't publish shit. I'd tell him, he shut his mouth, leave me alone. I wouldn't tell him second time, I'd shut it for him. Folks, I've been locked up for 3.5 years with criminals. Either in the jail or in the nut house. And essentially, every little wigger criminal goes ahead and pretends to be big and bad. The answer of it is they're trying to go ahead and keep nigger predators and beer predators from going ahead and ass raping them. Now, someone like Sword Mamzer, if he was, 17, 18, 19, 20, usually almost always time here, is that the first time they end up getting a big old eagle and swastika tattoo. Because essentially what they're doing is that they're selling their butt only to the so-called Aryan Brotherhood, guy. He was usually a mamzer himself. And I used to make fun of old Brian Wright. Says, well, guess what, Brian Wright? I bet you have, two SS rooms on both butt cheeks to go ahead and show that you're eager to please. And they play the little game of I'm tough, I'm tough, I'm tough, I'm tough. And the answer is criminals are not tough. If criminals were really tough like Dillinger or certainly Babyface Nelson, who essentially didn't get taken alive, he ended up having 17 bullets in him. He went ahead and killed 3 pigs at the very end, and with 17, the pigs were using Thompson machine guns, and he was using Thompson machine gun. And essentially what he had was those bullet holes probably weren't 9mm or .38 caliber. They probably were .45 caliber. And old Babyface ended up walking away from that. Now, the next day, his wife went ahead and he bled to death. 17 bullet, .45 caliber bullet holes will certainly make you bleed to death if it hits anywhere. And essentially, she put his body wrapped up in a blanket in a ditch. But on the last gunfight, for my Gary, took out 3 pigs. And old Babyface Nelson, he didn't have anything against killing pigs face to face. And usually the pigs got the worst end of it because, my friend says that he was really a hybrid nigger, named Pelham, who changed it to Nelson or something like that. And, that might very well be true. But essentially, he was somebody who anybody went ahead and had anything to do with, any pig that had anything to do with him, like the start of J. Edgar Hoover's little FBI people, essentially, if they end up having a gun battle with the gangsters, they end up getting the worst of it. Now, people like Clyde Barrow and, Clyde Barrow and Bonnie Parker, essentially, they were mainly sneak thieves, but what they were is they were sneak thieves with a sawed-off Browning automatic rifle, which would go ahead and fire .30-06 rounds. And .30-06 is a respectable round. It'd go through a pig, and it'd go through an engine block. Well, maybe not through an engine block, but screw it up. Essentially, back then, you know, you end up having white men, even bad white men end up having character. Today's Quakers don't have character, not even a bad character, like little Bill Daggett said in Unforgiven. You know, I would like, he said, I would like it if these bad men even had a bad character, but they don't have any character. And that's what you end up having with Mod the Monster, and you end up having with Matt Twat, Zogbot, and the rest of these tards. Anyway, Sword Mamser goes ahead and he threatens me as if he's so tough and he feels in the cell block. And the answer of it is that essentially, if I was in a cell box or something like that, chances are Zog will, you know, intend to go ahead and murder me. You know, so I don't worry about this sort of thing. You know, like I went ahead and explained to people, I mean, you know, whatever Yahweh has planned for you, he has planned for you. But some little stupid idiot going ahead and talking like he's a big bad criminal, no, that ain't the case here. The thing about it is the Sword Mamser goes ahead, he acts like I'm going to go ahead and run around and go, Ewok! Or whatever stupid crap. You know, with some stupid 24-year-old slick little Puerto Rican who's a lot quicker than me. And probably if I got a whole Sword Mamser, I mean, that would be the end of it, because I got rather massive big arms here, because I have a bad hip. And, yes, I got massive shoulders and massive arms, and then what happens, I'll grab hold of, you know, Sword Mamser, essentially, I'd probably twist his neck off. And there wouldn't be too much that a Sword Mamser could do about it. I mean, look at his little picture. He looks like a little Puerto Rican, you know, goofball here, you know, locked up in a little suit. He looks like about a little 5'6", 5'7", little Puerto Rican goomer, you know, a little face mask. Folks, dressing up like a Zog pig, you know what I mean? Pretty well, you know, there's a bunch of these people. This guy, you ought to be nice to Sword Mamser. Sword Mamser, he's going nuts. He's doing this. He's, you know, he don't like, you know, going ahead and being called Sword Mamser. Drives him up now. He's about to have a nervous breakdown. I said, well, you don't need to have a nervous breakdown. I mean, he can just simply go ahead and get used to the fact that, you know, shoot, he's not a white man and he shouldn't go ahead and pretend to be one. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm not going to twist his little dick off here. You know, like I went ahead and joked here, he's probably hung like Janet Reno. But in any case, I'll probably twist his head off, you know, I mean, if he messed with me. But, you know, chances are, I mean, shoot, you know, you're a little, I mean a ka-chink, you know, a ka-chunk sound of a, which is the sound of a, you know, a buckshot round being jacked into a, you know, into a 12-gauge pump shotgun. I mean, ka-chunk here beats meow or whatever the hell you idiots want to go ahead and play at. In any case, folks, I mean, this is just silliness. I'm going to go ahead and plug my cell phone in. Oh, because just went ding-ding. So I'll go ahead and recharge it. But, this, I mean, you know, come on. I mean, I'm not impressed by this silliness. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm an Army veteran, and just like old Sword Mamser was yapping, well, you're not a combat veteran. And I said, well, look, you idiot. I mean, I was in a nuclear missile battalion. You ought to be grateful I'm not a combat veteran, you fool. But in any case, you end up having these tards, and they pretend to act tough here. It's just like this Obadiah idiot. I go across the country to go ahead and administer honor court beatdowns. Are you going to have a fight with Sci-Fi Faber? I said, no. I said, look, you go ahead and you go to some deep woods, dual seed line Christian identity, you know, believer, and tell them that you're going to administer an honor court beatdown, chances are you're not going to be seen again. This is not normal behavior. I mean, what you end up having is you end up having all the freaking tards who used to be around Butler who go ahead and pretend they're tough, and they're going ahead, and it's entirely, totally different thing here. And this is not normal white behavior. It's not normal white behavior to act like a total clown and, you know, act like an idiot. But, you know, anyway, I didn't know that much about Clyde Barrow or Bonnie Parker. Their main claim to fame around here is that they were hiding in Joplin, and they killed a pig in Joplin pig and wounded another, you know, pig, and you know, they were living on a an apartment in the 30s or something like that. And they, you know, they still go ahead. I mean, it's where Bonnie and Clyde went ahead and shot their way out of something or another. Actually, from what I gather, the pig went ahead and was stupid enough to go ahead, you know, knock on the door, and they didn't know what the hell they were doing. And essentially, they end up going ahead and, you know, getting on the receiving end of a sawed-off Browning automatic rifle, and, you know, pretty well, you know, the fight, you know, them with their little 38 specials, you know, couldn't really go ahead and match them in firepower or volume or weight, you know, with a Browning automatic, you know, sawed-off Browning automatic rifle. And, I mean, they didn't even really aim the thing. I mean, I imagine old Bonnie Parker probably didn't aim the thing. I mean, a 30-06 round, even if it's pretty, a lot of the recoil's absorbed by the gas, you know, kicking back the bolt and, you know, chambering another round, I mean, still, you know, firing an automatic 30-06, I mean, it's not really something that you really go ahead and aim at. Essentially what it was a pointing weapon to go ahead and hose down the opposing army's trenches or something like that. It really wasn't a sniper weapon or anything like that. But in any case, Swordmaster, I'm here to issue your auto court meet now. Click, click, bang, bang, click, click, bang. Well, essentially, Swordmaster don't know how to behave. He really doesn't. But later on, you end up having all these idiots chimping out. And shoot, let me go ahead and you end up opening windows you don't mean to open. Where am I? Okay, I was looking at this other thing. What the heck was I looking at, looking for? Anyway, shoot, I mean, I must be getting senile early, folks. Anyway, oh, yeah, now I know what I was looking for. I'm looking for, you know, that stupid crap, you know. You know, in any case, I'm not worried about honor court beatdown. And they said that, the Obadiah, not the pissers, poofter, possum, but the, the criminal guy, he went ahead and he went back to prison. He's in prison now. Essentially, a week or so before he went in there, he was telling people that he missed prison. That prison was the best thing that ever happened to him. And what happens is these people, they don't know how to behave. And, you know, to them, prison is the best thing that happened to them. They just don't know how to go ahead and behave. And essentially, they don't know what to do with themselves. So in many cases, prison is the best thing that happened to them. They don't know how to behave. They don't know how to do anything else here. So anyway, I was ridiculing old, ridiculing this idiot. And then came on this guy called Bama Man. He said, well, you're saying this, and you're saying that. It's not Christian Day or something like that. And I said, okay, first you need to prove your lies. You've gone ahead and accused me of a number of stuff. Okay, where did I say this stuff here? And essentially, Sword Mamser and Liar Bill and, you know, saying that I advocated the rape of non-whites to go ahead and breed, I guess, Mamsers here, and that isn't the case here. But what was said is that, essentially, I don't pay attention to what white men who have had enough of the shit do. Essentially, what it boils down to is that regime criminals must die, and they must be sent screaming to hell. While they go ahead and they go about doing it, doesn't matter to me, just as long as when they're done, there's no MUDs and there's no non-whites, you know, who used to serve Zog, who lived off of Zog around. And that's pretty well what I told Bama Mamser. And you end up having this guy named Michael who claims to be some sort of Malkanoid Mamser, and he was bitching, and I went ahead and answered this sort of thing. And I went ahead and locked the thread up. And here comes Matt Twat Zogbot. And he goes ahead and he's whining as if it's all my fault that this thread has gotten out of control. And the answer of it is that you're the tard to start the thread. I just went ahead and answered the thread, and then I stuck mainly to my forum because I wasn't getting out to be ambushed and have you use an excuse to go ahead and ban me. But I go ahead and I answer, you know, I go ahead and answer like to where, you know, what happens is he's pretty well bitching and pissing and moaning, you know, for Bill Fink to go ahead and ban me from my sub forum because he can't go ahead and behave himself. He can't have his way. So then what happens is Sword Mambler started this Martin Lynn stench, his 10,000 turd lore, or swear I'm a Cherokee or something like that. And he goes ahead and he posts something here about how I'm, how I'm recruiting anti-people against the, on behalf of the Taliban. I don't know where the hell that idiot got that sort of stupid shit. But he looks like a little Puerto Rican. He got a little AR-15 or M-16. And what he has a little black, face mask here. Folks, that's not a smart thing to go ahead and show. White people, because usually they associate with black, jackbooted thugs. But from what I get, old Sword Mamsie, he went to a crappy 4-year state college, and the stupid fuck went ahead and flunked out of ROTC, or got kicked out of ROTC. He's been trying to go ahead and become a pig ever since, and from what I get, the idiot can't even, the idiot can't even go ahead and make it in the police, department, because they don't want someone who's so goofy here. So he went ahead and posted a picture of Gilda Radner. I said it was his Aunt Gilda. And then from, Charles Manson, I said that, did you know that Charlie Manson knew my Guido daddy in a biblical sense? And here he is, freaking out. He goes on, and by this time, you end up having this Charles Thorne, essentially, he's going ahead and talking shit about John Britton. And the fact of the matter is John Britton was until, a month or so ago? Supposedly, if he's in the Legion of Saints, his commanding officer. So where does he get off doing that? So anyway, I use this Homer Simpson here, fat girl here, whose tits look like Homer Simpson's eyes, and his her rolls of fat look like old Homer Simpson's lips here. What I mean? Pretty well her frontal nudity looks sort of like Homer Simpson, and that's Legion of Fucktards. It's Charles Thorne or something like that. But essentially, I don't think this Charles Thorne is actually even a member of the Legion of Saints. He's probably just some little Jew pretending to be the Legion of Saints who wants to cause trouble. But I've gone ahead and asked, if there is any Charles Thorne, and couldn't find any on the Molts and Goats for him here. But anyway, he went ahead and you had Legion, Legion of Fucktards, and, pretty well he said, John Britton said, yeah, keep it up, Sword Mamser, you're quite entertainment. We're still interested in your surname as our Hyber Nigger intelligence operator within the 10,000 Warlords Intelligence Network wouldn't tell us. It appears you have an Italian or Portuguese surname. Could be there's a Mamser in the woodpile and you have a desire to keep the facts hidden. And it says, you are said to have the countenance of a Puerto Rican. Six killer, parentheses, John Britton. And see what happens is that this little tard, of Legion of the Fucktards is Charles Thorne, acted like he was making a big deal that Six Killer is none other than John, Pastor John Britton. Six Killer isn't going to rape anyone, and I have serious doubts that Martin Lindstedt intends to do so. What Lindstedt said was that he isn't going to attempt to stop it from happening, and I'm not. How this subject even came up is that a wigger over at Stumbling asked Lindstedt if one of his 10,000 warlords he could rape Jewesses, as this wigger lives in the state of New Jersey where there is a large population of Jews. Martin Lindstedt answered him, saying he didn't care if he raped Jewesses as long as they were properly disposed of afterwards, and he didn't want any extra spawn propagating. Of course, this became a major focal point with you turdbusters. And then Sword Mamser went ahead and came up with this Luke 19, whatever, and he was screeching and hollering and doing all this sort of thing. He says, I'm going to see that on that day, and I will remember your insult. I guess what happens when he's a resurrected little Mamser, which isn't going to happen, he's going to invent, You're insulting against my family name, my family honor, my racial purity. I'm going to pray to be the physical instrument by which Yahweh's judgment is carried out against you on the day of general judgment. And then he goes ahead and he tells about this conversation call that we end up, you know, me, this other guy, well, Buck Boxer, myself, and Lynn Stench were present on a Skype call where Lynn Stench, that's what he's calling me, said a white warrior could have a Jewish as a concubine. Well, no, I didn't say that. At which point I raised the issue of bastard, mams, or spawn. Well, if I raise the issue of bastard, mams, or spawn, I'll talk about sword mams. And he called me a mams, or a Jew plant, and a Zogbot. Well, I didn't call him exactly. Well, maybe I called him, you know, Zogbot. I might call him a Jew plant. Maybe I called him, you know, usually I call him sword mamser. But this was before I knew Buck. I was calling him sword mamser. I mean, him and I didn't like each other from day one. I called him sword mamser before I went ahead and met this Buck fellow. And then when Boxer spoke up, sharing my views and articulating the view that any sort of rapist is a piece of trash you should put, be put down like a mad dog, Lindstedt hurled similar false accusations against Boxer. Well, I didn't call Boxer a mamser, a Jew plant, or a Zogbot. You know, call him a wigger, you know, call him a wigger and a pansy. No, I call him a stupid, you know, typical wigger pussy. Suggestion that Boxer and I were just talking that neither of us would do anything to stop things we condemned as evil. Well, what I did, told Boxer, I said, Boxer, you're full of shit, you know, in addition to being a wigger pussy. I said, look, the fact of the matter is that some nigger or beaner is raping your mother or your sister or your daughters or your wife, you're a big pussy and you're going to go ahead and let them. You let them get away with it. So why the hell, when things are falling apart, would you even dream of going ahead and fighting against a warlord who's killing pigs, killing Jews, killing niggers, you know, going ahead and stringing up regime criminals? If he wants to go ahead and get a little bit of Kuntang or, red nigger poontang or whatever, and he goes ahead and he shoots it after he's done. What makes me think that if you can't go ahead and defend, you know, like most swiggers, you can't go ahead and defend your own women, you're going to go ahead all of a sudden on behalf of Zog and behalf of niggers and, you know, wenches and all that, you're going to go ahead and kill some, you know, some warlord when things are turning apart? And the answer is, you know, that's bullshit. And what happens is that, you know, old Boxer, he wanted to go ahead and fight with him, but I said, look, dumbass, you're just a typical wigger. And shit, there's 150 million more of you. You know, essentially, I don't have any time. I mean, me and Sword Mams were going at it. You know, Boxer, he's trying to go ahead and get in on it, but, you know, shit. I said, well, you're just a dumbass wigger. And you had two people, one named Lenny and another guy, and old Buck says, you quit recording that Skype call. You know, I said, why? You have one of these little bastards recording Skype call? He said, well, you know, usually he don't record the Skype call, but Lenny's recording these Skype conversations and put them out on Pirate Bay. And I said, well, you don't want any of the little bastards going ahead and, recording the Skype call? Just go ahead and kick everybody's ass off except me and Sword Mamser and you. You know, and I really want to argue with that stupid wigger Buck anymore, you know, because he's just a dumbass. But, hey, just go ahead and just kick out the people who you think's recording this shit. And, you know, just go ahead and bring them back here. And then me and Sword Mamser went ahead and went at it. Old Buck, he was trying to go ahead and get his 2 cents in, but I really wasn't listening to, I wasn't really listening to Boxer because he was just a dumbass wigger. I mean, what's the point of that? You know what I mean? So, essentially, that's the sort of stupid shit. That's the sort of stupid shit that these stupid idiots, pull here. And they act like they're so tough when they're not. I mean, you never seen a bunch of stupid pussies in your life here. Most of these people go ahead and play in the, the bowel movement. I mean, they're idiots. What is the point, No, it wasn't hell being in prison with Winstead. You know, the thing about it is that, shoot, my roommate, he was a nigger who, I was telling this guy, the nigger was actually a pretty good roommate. But what he did, for par for the course here, but first of all, I moved over to Gulman here. See, over at Biggs, you don't have roommates because they're so freaking psychotic. It's only one nut per cell. That's why it costs so much more at Biggs, because they're violent and they're nutty, really nutty. But, guest number 8, Well, no. What happened was Wonger invited him to a time and a place way back when the Wonger was getting, you know, run out here because he's a Mamzer. What happens is the Wonger wanted to go ahead and have his crew 38 so he'd keep his ass from getting his, you know, him getting his ass whipped here. But in any case, you know, probably guess number 8 is the Wonger or Pisser Possum or something here. Anyway, where was I? Oh, well, my roommate, what happens is he went ahead and raped and sodomized his little 8-year-old niece here, which is par for the course for niggers. And then he went ahead and killed her in order to shut her up here, which is par for the course for niggers. But what happens, what he did that was really screwed up here and then got sent to the nut house is he went ahead and carved off the tenderized pieces here of little Shaniqua's or whatever his, you know, Niglet niece's name was. He went ahead and took a bunch of pieces off her, off her twat and, you know, to her bunghole. He went ahead and ate them raw. That's what went ahead and got upset to the nut house. And I liked him as a roommate because what I do is I wear a bandana and I like staying up late at night reading. And what happens is that he sort of thought the little Shaniqua here was going to go ahead and kill his ass. So, you know, come to him in his dreams here, little Shaniqua would come back as a ghost and, you know, get her payback. And essentially he would go ahead and have a fit here if the lights got turned off. So I liked having him as a roommate because then I could go ahead and stay up until I got tired. And then when I wanted to sleep, I'd just go ahead and take the bandana, you know, just slide it over my eyes and use it as a night mask here. And, you know, shit, I sort of liked him, but he went ahead and he pled NGRI, you know, not guilty by reason of insanity, and they went ahead and sent him over to Ward 2. So I had a pretty fine time. I had a pretty fine time over in Goldman here because, you know, I mean, ended up having just ordinary nuts in there here. And what happens is they were going to go ahead and put me in a little Somali nigger, who looked like a little Jew nigger. He had a little big old, you know, he looked like a nigger, you know, he had a little kinky hair like a Jew and a nigger. But he had a little hooked nose here, so he was an Arab nigger. And essentially, I guess they figured out that, you know, they ought to put some little Muslim nigger, you know, in with a, you know, little 5'6" Muslim nigger in with a, you know, a 6'2", you know, Klansman, you know, in case then, you know, well, what if something goes wrong, then they'd end up going, what the hell were you people thinking? So they went ahead and put it in with this faggot pervert here. Essentially, they moved him to another thing because he was screwing here this nigger girl. Oh, by the way, these nigger girls, these nutty nigger women here, every single one of them here were molested by the age of 8 and 9 here by their nigger daddies or whatever here. I mean, that's just the way niggers act. You know what I mean? So, anyway, I'm listening to the chat here. Anyway. You know. Anyway, Rod Blumens is not about, well, I think he's a Jew myself here. Anyway, pretty well old John Reltney went ahead and, you know, the Reltney identity went ahead and ran him off. But anyway, I don't know if old Bluefins is there here, but anyway, Yeah, in any case, he's a, whatever, you know, guess number 50. I mean, have it your way. You know, I'm not even going to argue. I mean, I really don't want to go ahead and talk about Mike Blevins, okay? Anyway, where was I? You know, getting on old Sword Mamzer. You know, getting back to old Sword Mamzer. Where was I? Old Sword Mamzer. Okay. Well, let me go ahead and look at this other thing here. Anyway, he was changing, I'm closing threads here. Essentially, I went ahead and closed these threads on my forum. And really, I didn't hardly answer any of this stupid shit here that was coming down. But where am I? Okay. Well, it looks like I'm going to go ahead and have to log back in. Okay, hold on, folks. Thing about it is this bowel movement, I mean, some of the stupid shit you go ahead and repeat, I mean, it's really freaking ridiculous. I mean, normal people don't act this way. And when I go ahead and, you know, tell a little story of a of a whore named Clunt, you know, about how she wasn't the Klan Clara, she was the Klan Clunt. I mean, the niggers used to laugh at that little story when I used to tell them in the house here. I mean, they really like hearing about, you know, Whiggers acting bad. But anyway, looking back on it, you know, Martin Lindstench's 10,000 Turd Lords, he goes ahead and says, you know, he's going ahead and he's bitching on the first page. I went ahead and saved most of it to my form as well. And I'll go ahead and send it all over the internet so they can go ahead and laugh at Sword Mams and the rest. But let me see. He went ahead and answered here and said, you end up having this guy named Icelander 93. And what it is I call it Ice Scraling 17 because it's a 17-year-old, probably a Scraling or something, pretending to be an Icelander. You know, because, you know, a little Scraling has learned that, you know, Icelanders are white people. And he wants to pretend to be one. See, normal people from Iceland who are 17 years old, they don't go, I mean, since when do they go to practically unknown Christian identity forums? The answer is they don't. They don't. So Ice Mams are, he says, you know, old Six Care says he's some swigger poser. Probably he's a little nigger here, more than likely. I mean, shoot, you end up learning here that if the critter has an Adolf Hitler avatar or like Judas the Juice pretends to go ahead and be Jesus Christ's brother, chances are they're Jews or Mamsers or something here, you know. Anyway, you know, John Britton went ahead and answered this here, and he's going ahead, you know, he's telling his little story, and says, I'm not threatening you, and you shouldn't take anything I say as a threat. Well, okay, then, because I have no intention to do any harm to anybody, but it won't be long before Yahweh lets your foot slide, because it's written surely that foot shall slide in due time, you know. It won't be long before you and Lynn Stench wind up in the ditch together when the blind are led by the blind, both fall in the ditch. I'm going to pray for your destruction, discussion of Martin Luther Duschinski Lynn Stench. A number of businesses that played games with me went out of business within weeks of wronging me. Well, what happens? I mean, did the International House of Kosher Bacon here sort of screw you up? As soon as I call my Heavenly Father to set his face against you, you'll be prone to leaving your mortal body in the blink of an eye, being from a lightning bolt, a tornado, a heart attack, being flattened by a semi, liver failure, lung cancer, flash flood, choking on a hamburger. I don't know how you're going out, but once I pray for your demise, you're on the way out. I'm going to ask Moxer Semelar, believing his rights, to call me Heavenly Father for your demise and the demise of Lynn Stench, the wicked, apostate, hate-filled, false prophets that you are. You know. In short, I'm praying to the Heavenly Fire, utterly and totally destroy you, and Martin Lindstedt, so that near you is able to continue polluting the Israelite movement with your vile presence. Almighty Yahweh, he goes on and on and on and on. He goes ahead and prays. Well, shoot, you know, look, Sword Mamser, what you need to do is you need to go ahead and do just like the Zarl Warden here. You need to go ahead and show me serious. You need to go ahead and put up a YouTube video of you chewing on some nice raw goat pizzle. Chew it, you know, just go ahead and show that you're serious. You need to go ahead and do that voodoo doo-doo that you do so well. You need to go ahead and chew on some goat pizzle. If you go ahead and chew, you know, be a good little Sword Mamser and chew on some goat pizzle. You know, me and John Britton, we'll sort of think about, you know, whether or not we get sick or something like that, you know, sort of like the kosher bacon cheeseburger thing here that went, you know, belly up here because they wronged you or something like that here. You know what I mean? So, what's a Panzer? Panzer Lanzer? Okay. Anyway. Who says why here? Well, I don't know. I mean, who are you gonna believe? Yourself or your lying eyes or a bunch of Danes who, if you, you know, Mike Blevins was dropped into Copenhagen, like June Stain says, they'd all ask him to do the taxes for him. Anyway. You know, it's a two-hour go piss. Well, at least go ahead and show you're serious. That's what I told Cazal Worden to do. He was cussing me out of storm here. And what happens? Old Cazal denied he was a Jew. You know, it started out a year before here when I went ahead and he was bitching at me, and, you know, because of an article. Well, I reprinted one of William Pierce's things about this dirty Jew going after Bill Clinton named David Dash, and, you know, Carl Warden said, you know, Jewish like me, and I went ahead and wrote a response called, you know, Kazal like Kazal. And me and Kazal, we got into it after that. And Kazal was screaming and hollering, I was going to die of cancer or a heart attack or some such shit. Look, Kazal, you need to go ahead and show you're serious. You need to go ahead and chew on some dope pizzle. But in the meantime, I was writing stuff like Wednesday night at Kazal's, you know, one-manzer militia, you know, head and hiding quarters about how Mrs. Kazal wanted to go to the SPLC meeting and get her some nigger buck, you know, meat. Essentially, Kazal, he was all pissing and moaning. Now, the real story of Kazal is that he was indeed a Jew, and he left his wife who was, a big old homely, big nose, Gretel from the Shettle, and his two little kikelets. And what happens is he went ahead and he found him a little Latina, Latrina chili pepper, and he ran off with her. And either the oldest son or the youngest son was saying that, old Kazal, he made me the faggot I am today, and he was working in Broadway or something like that. He blamed old Kazal here for making the faggot here. And old daddy went ahead and beat me, with wire coat hangers. He broke my younger brother's, arm. And, I can't believe anybody thinks he's a great patriot here because he's just a dirty Jew here who ran off, who went ahead and left my mother and me and my younger brother and, ran off for a chili pepper. Some latrina. And essentially, Kazal went ahead and admitted it, but what happens is just like what might very well end up happening, stumble in or thanks Big Tent, is that it's just like Jim Floyd, who went ahead and wrote July 4th, 1998, about the very last 4th of July, implying that there wasn't going to be very many 4th of Julys because Bill Clinton had to go ahead and rely on his sexual needs to having his dick sucked by a Jewess. And here comes Claire Wolfe, the great libertarian. Does pretty racist articles have value? Essentially, this worthless bitch went ahead and demanded that Jim Floyd be censored. And all these wiggers went ahead, and Jim Floyd got censored. So I went ahead and I printed his articles here, and that's what's happened. I mean, over the years, I've known that sooner or later I'm going to go ahead and get censored, so I always put my best stuff up on my own webpage based on Ezra Pound, who went ahead and said that his first-rate articles could not be published, his second-rate articles could not be published, his third-rate articles could be published, his fourth-rate articles could maybe be published as long as they didn't hold any political meeting. It was fifth and sixth, they could probably publish too. So what happens is that's why I set up my own webpage on February 1996, and that's why I set up my own list servers after I got kicked out of Holy Whores. And that's why I set up my own forums. Essentially what I do is I reprint, racist writers, and that's what I've done over the years. So, hey, I don't really give a crap if I end up getting banned because, hey, I have my own forum. And I have other people who, want to go ahead and read my stuff. And, look, if I end up getting my ass banned, I mean, what of it? It ain't like, and like I said, I've been throwing out a better dump than this one. So I'm not worried about being kicked out here, for being an asshole. Well, hey, yes, I'm an asshole, but, what of it here? But the fact of the matter is, over on Bill's Big Tent, I pretty well stuck to the reservation. But anyway, I went ahead and, told Kazal, and Kazal went ahead and he took, him and he went ahead and took over the Vigo Examiner, him and another Jew. What the heck was that other Jew's name? I forget which here. Anyway, what happens, he lasted for about another 4 years, and essentially it got to where he was gloating too much over these Baptists at the Indian Baptist Temple being deprived of their church by the IRS, and all the Christians got tired of the dirty Jew, and essentially, they went ahead and kicked off Kazal, but by then it was too late. But it didn't really matter. I mean, after they kicked off Jim Floyd, I went ahead, I went from calling it the Vigo Examiner So I called it the Greater Kazakhstan Times and Tattler is what I called it. The GKTNT, the Greater Kazakhstan Times and Tattler. And the thing about it is, it's sort of like, you know, putting a name like Sword Mamser on poor old Sword Mamser. I mean, everybody went ahead and they didn't call it the Greater, you know, they didn't call it the Beagle Examiner anymore. They called it the Greater Kazakhstan Times and Tattler. So usually when I go ahead and put a brand on some critter, you know, the poor bastard ends up having that brand for life here. I mean, Sword Mamser will be known as Sword Mamser, you know, forever. You know what I mean? Unless he does something really, really, really depraved here to where, you know, I come up with an even better nickname for him. But anyway, poor, you know, goodbye, Martin. Goodbye, Six Killer. Well, look, Sword Mamser, we're still alive here. We're still fairly healthy here, Sword Mamser. Okay. They count, he quotes Psalm 109, and, you know, I mean, I can tell where he got the thing from because I use the same thing here. But here he had old Matt Twat Zogbot. He says, Amen, Brian, and praise Almighty Yahweh. Hail, priest Yeshua, in his day of triumph over such evil, wicked man. Such a prayer shall be on my lips as the day our king returns to wilderness as his battle axe. And old Matt Twat went ahead and took the picture of his little studio drums or whatever. And he showed a picture of him, you know, being big and bitch-titted, you know, wielding a knife. You know, a big knife, you know, but, you know, nearly as big as this man tits here. But what happens is that it looks like a, old six killer. You know, what I did is when I first seen that, I just laughed my head off. And what I immediately did is the same thing you do when you deal with piss or possums or any other these stupid like skunks. They're going to go ahead and delete this embarrassing stuff. Well, anyway, here was Matt Twat showing his, you know, showing his man boobs. And essentially what I did is I took a picture of the avatar. And then he went ahead and republished it. And I went ahead and took my own picture of it. And it's on, you know, it's on whitenationalist.org and on the webpage. It's on my hard drive. Essentially, everybody can go ahead and see it who wants to. But it looks like Matt Twat Zogbot, you know, being the wonderful, brave, you know, censorship director that he is, went ahead and deleted it. But, you know, what happens is John Britton went ahead and repeatedly said, well, he goes ahead and he first tells Sword Mamser, okay, he tells Sword Mamser, Sword Mamser, you fucked up little Puerto Rican Mamser monkey. You need to stop chimping out. Neither myself or Pastor Lindstedt has insulted your family name. Not that we wouldn't like to, but you have been too cowardly to let it be known. And my hybrid nigger intelligence operator hasn't seemed to snitch you out yet, insofar as your racial heritage is concerned. 666 Sicilian niggers and Greek faggots have already screwed up your family tree. It's not my fault that when you looked up your family tree, a nigger shit in your face. Insofar as the conference call you referenced, Pastor Winston says, the part where he called Boxer a Whigger pussy is correct. That's what I did call him here. You know, and essentially, there's so many Whigger pussies in the world. I mean, I didn't really want to argue with Boxer anymore. I mean, it ain't like, you know, hell, it's only what? Oh, there's only about 150 million of them. I mean, you see, you know, why should I waste time on Boxer here? You know? Lindstedt scoffed at the notion that Boxer was going to kill one of Pastor Lindstedt's warlords when he's too chicken shit to kill a nigger, beaner, raping his wife, his daughters, his sister, his mother. And yeah, that's pretty well the size of it. That's pretty well what I told old Boxer. All you zoggling, wigger, and manser ass clowns, do go on. Pastor Lindstedt reminds me that the said conference call went on and on where you repetitively chimped out, but at last it came to a merciful end. Here's to hoping that Lenny was recording it and putting it out on Pirate Bay. It was quite hilarious. I'm sort of... What happens is that someone did hear the dang thing, and it got over on April City, and somebody went ahead and referenced that call. So he is here on the line, or he heard a recording of it here. So I'm quite sure that, you know, the call is, you know, was recorded. You know, so I don't know. I'd sort of like to go ahead and get a hold of it. Maybe I need to go ahead and contact that guy at April City, but for my guy, he's sort of like Sword Mamser, though. Now, myself and Pastor Lindsay have been Jew-cursed by the Pinsir Apostles, Pet Slant-Eyed Jew Mamser with prison fleas, Brian Wright, Lion Wong, Willie Wong, Billy Wood, Ellie Kazar. When myself and Pastor Lindsay ran him off in December 2008, and we were, but he went ahead and cursed all of Israel for what me and John did for going ahead and showing his little slant-eyed goop Mamser with prison tats. And Pastor Lindsay has been cursed by Kazar Worden back in 1998. You know, at least them lying Jew bastards are far more economical in cursing us. Well, you got to give old Ferdinand, he likes going here and pretending, you know, that his little, you know, Puerto Rican bullshit means something. And of course, being white devils, neither myself nor Pastor Winston has ever been much affected by these Jew and Mamser curses. What you need to do is show that you're serious, you little Puerto Rican Mamser monkey. You need to go on YouTube and show that you can munch down a hunk of fresh goat pizzle, wild goat pizzle. Now, see, a pizzle is essentially, you know, the same as a penis here. It's called a pizzle because they piss through it. You know what I mean? You need to do that voodoo that you do so well. I bet you're hung like Janet Reno. Well, that was a little thing that I went ahead and used on because they're all, you know, well, because they're all worried and so witty. Yeah. Okay. And then to Matt Twatz, you know, amen, Brian, praise you, almighty Yahweh, hell, praise to you, Yeshua is dead, trampled, such a wicked man. Such a prayer shall be on my lips. Go day our king returns, the wilderness of his battle axe. And then goes ahead and shows old Matt Twatz bought with, you know, with man tits here, and, you know, a big, so you're short machete, you're a long butcher knife. And, you know, Six Curry said, nice pair, Matt Twatzogbot. It looks like a bald eagle could build a nest between that pair of mammaries. While you're begging Yeshua, why don't you go ask him for some 44 double D saline implants and a year's supply of plate-based training bras? Just a little more to go before you're another Commandor Bitch Kiss Bill White slash Weiss. And what happens is, you know, old Matt Twatzogbot went ahead and gave us the big picture. You know, go ahead and manser this, you coward little keyboard jockey. Turn 100% you know, Israelite warrior priest here. But as you and your Jew friend snitches already knew that, back up your foul mouth. You already know Marty's a tubeless tumbler. Sorry, excuse for a white man. What about you, Pastor Britton? Where's your face, coward? At least Marty's dumb enough to post this ugly mug. I fix you black as a nigger you act like. I will not recognize any response for you short of seeing your face with your foul mouth, you know, you foul mouth coward. You sibling weasels can continue to diarrhea at the mouth. I find satisfied that all you cowards can do is produce false accusations just like a Jew against obviously scriptural, truthful Israelites. The gauntlet is thrown down, you cockroaches. Folks, normal white men don't go ahead and show pictures of their man tits. You know what I mean? Or class me alive as if they're, you know, there's some deranged faggot here in, Lethal, you know, what the hell was it with Glenn Close? Lethal Collusion or some such stupid shit. I mean, normal people don't do that shit. Normal white people don't do that shit. You know what I mean? So, anyway. You were letting them get away. You know, I don't have a freaking Harley. I have a Geo Metro. You know, I don't like close encounters of the asphalt kind here. You know what I mean? So, I mean, what happens is that, see, the problem of this shit here is that these people don't know how to freaking behave. That's the problem. They have no clue as to how to behave. They want to go ahead and pretend to be white warriors or something like that, and they don't freaking know how to behave. They all they know how to do is to freaking chimp out. And, you know, since they don't know how to behave, that pretty well tells everybody who's looking is that, well, hey, you're just nothing more than a fucktard. You know, and I don't want anything to do with you, you stupid fucktard. And that's the normal way to act here. I mean, chimping out, I mean, normal people don't go ahead and take a picture of them looking, you know, what they think is ferocious here, you know, what we think is sort of pathetic. I mean, this isn't, you know, this is not something that's very smart to do. But, you know, these people, they sort of think that, you know, hey, that's the manly thing to do. And, you know, they don't know how to behave. Now, see, you know, John Britton, as a young man, he went ahead and he was listening to sermons. And as a young man from between the ages of 10 until about 19, where I pretty well rebelled against Herbert the Pervert's teaching here, I'll tell you that I didn't have any problem with the British Israelitism message. I had problems with Herbert going ahead and taking a whole bunch of money and all these little kids and working men dying, you know, because of appendicitis or pneumonia because they couldn't get an appendectomy, or they couldn't go ahead and get, you know, $12 worth of penicillin You know, but Herbert ended up getting an oxygen tent, even though he's 80-some years old, and he gets a penis pump so he can go ahead and screw, you know, the beaner wife of the Jew secretary, you know, Stanley Rader. That was pretty well, you know, ticked me off here. Now, if you really believe in the anointing cloth, go ahead and get the anointing cloth, but go ahead and get the appendectomy, and go ahead and get, you know, the penicillin. My dad nearly got the fellowship for the second time when he was going ahead and, we went to a funeral of this, this real nice working man who left a wife and two kids. My dad nearly got this fellowship for saying, you know, $12 worth of penicillin could save this man from dying of pneumonia. You know what I mean? Now, my dad didn't have a problem. I mean, when my dad was around, I never dared fake anything because his idea of good health here, you know, with ailing cows or kids, was to go ahead and shoot them up with a freaking big stainless steel needle with a, the thing looked like big as a pencil, and he'd go ahead and, shoot his kids or his cows with cowlicusin, which was penicillin. And, around my house, you didn't dare fake being sick. I'm ready for a shot. Well, the cows couldn't do that, so if they were ailing, they'd go ahead and get the shot of cow lincolin, and there wasn't much they could do about it. But around our house, you didn't dare fake illness here, in order to get out of school or anything when my dad was around. Because, all you get is a sore ass out of it here. You wouldn't be dare faking it anymore here. In fact, I'm smart enough not to even get caught once here. Anyway, but no, look, folks, this stupid crap, I had a problem. I've had a problem with pastoral abuse here. And that's pretty well what Gillette does. And you go ahead, and I hate to say it, but you go ahead, and, Christian Identity is not immune to all these little fucktards going ahead and acting like little bell priests and acting like little dictators. And all this sort of stupid crap. And I've seen plenty of abuse, pastoral abuse, in the Worldwide Church of God. And the fact of the matter is I'm not going to put up with that shit. If I go ahead and see somebody go ahead and abusing their membership, ripping them off, and certainly going ahead and getting them caught in prison here for no good reason other than their own stupidity, yes, I have a problem with that. I really do have a big problem with it here. Now, the fact of the matter is, you turkeys running around screaming and hollering, you're going to drive 800 miles one way, to go ahead and fuck me up. Well, go ahead and have it if you want. A Puerto Rican home invasion, I get to go ahead, and it's free range, you turkey, if you show up here. And you're not going to show up here, we both know it. So stop wasting my time with your stupid bullshit. You know what I mean? I must admit, though. What happened was me and John Britt, we were talking to each other. We were very well right there. We were just laughing our heads off at this chipping out that was going on here. You know what I mean? So, what happens is that it's pretty well true. I mean, you didn't dare. And from my guess, John Britt is the same way. His dad used to go ahead and, have a ranch and, essentially, he couldn't afford a doctor visit back then, even though it wasn't as expensive as it is now. But, that cow penicillin was cow penicillin. But what I didn't like was a big freaking ass stainless steel needle from World War II, whatever, that they had to be reused. And the freaking needle was huge. It'd take a big old hunk out of you here, about the size of a pencil lead or something here. Oh, shoot, and it would hurt. See, my dad really knew you were sick here if you didn't go ahead and say, oh, no, Daddy, see me dance. I can dance here. I'm healthy here. Just see me dance around. No need for the needle. If one of his kids didn't do that, he knew they really were sick. Now, my dad got disfellowshipped for the first time by going ahead and taking me to the hospital when I was really sick. And that's what, pretty well caused the, bone disease that pretty well ate up, most of my left hip. He got disfellowshipped. And what happened is he got disfellowshipped by one of Herbert's little bell priests who had an elder daughter about a couple months younger than me. And his little daughter died of a burst appendix because he didn't want to lose his job. So he went ahead and sacrificed his, you know, he went ahead and sacrificed his eldest daughter to the little Moloch known as Herbert the Pervert Armstrong. And essentially, he didn't dare go ahead and, you know, put his little girl in a hospital to where she could have an appendix out here. But instead, she got an anointing cloth and her little appendix broke, and now he no longer has an elder daughter, and he is pissed off as hell at Richard Lindstedt for having a live son. And he went ahead and he liked to sell shipping my dad. It's just sort of like Mod's Monster and the rest of these, you know, cocksuckers here. You know, they're chicken shits themselves here, and they don't like a white man going ahead, essentially doing what a white man has to do here and acting like he has a brain here. You know, look, if Yahweh wants to heal you, by all means, go ahead and have the anointing cloth. But if you have a broken leg, by all means, go ahead and have somebody fix it. If you have a appendix about to burst, have a doctor go ahead and fix it. If you're about to go ahead and die of pneumonia, by all means, go ahead as best you can and get some antibiotics for it. And the anointing cloth, well, hey, you might very well help here. You might very well help the healing procedure. But guess what? You know, that one of Herbert's bail priests, one of this hollow man, one of his little bail pastors, went ahead and essentially killed his own daughter, sacrificed her to him being able to go ahead and drive in a relatively new car and have his house payments, his food payments paid for himself and his wife and the rest of the kids that lived. And I don't have any patience for that here. Now, on the other hand, I agree that religion, Don Mason had a perfectly good right to go ahead and do what he did, because I believe in the paramountcy of the man over that here. But I certainly had no respect for him as a man or as a pastor, and my dad certainly didn't either. He got the fellowship for it, but he had a lot of fun as a result of it. You know, he nearly got the fellowship for saying $12 worth of penicillin could save that man. He nearly got the fellowship because there are a lot of people didn't like him, any more than like me for telling it like it is. But he ended up going ahead and getting the fellowship for, you know, siding with Herbert, you know, Garnerton Armstrong when Herbert Armstrong kicked him out later on, you know, in the later 70s or so. You know what I mean? He went with Herbert Armstrong, you know, Garnerton Armstrong. And Garnerton Armstrong, I mean, he's fucked up in the head, you know, being Herbert's kid. He pretty well lost his church by begging for, you know, masturbating, you know, and begging for sex from some Texas, you know, masseuse or whore or whatever here. And essentially, he was sort of fucked up. But, you know, Garnerton was a better man than his daddy ever was. The thing about it is, my daddy ended up having some trouble here with these little bail priests, and just like I'm having trouble with these little posers and these pretenders, and you're not fooling nobody, you idiots. You know what I mean? You're not fooling anybody. Why, you idiot? I mean, the thing about it is that running around and hiding behind a face mask, you know, hiding your corcayo, you know, hiding your Sicilian features and hiding behind a face mask, essentially, and you're allowed to go ahead and get away with that shit, and these people know who you are, what the hell are you trying to go ahead and prove? It's not proving anything very good. It's not proving anything good. You know, don't give me this crap about showing my face. I show my face. The thing about John Britton is that his family has been harassed quite a bit, and essentially Brian Wright wants to know his face, so he won't get his ass whipped here if he ever ends up going to any of these, Whigger Nationalist meetings here. That's why he's scared. You know, it's about, 4 years for, you know, John Britton trusts me enough to go ahead and let me see his picture. You know, of course, 3.5 of them I was in the nut house. You know, but shoot, I mean, if it took 4 years for his best friend to go ahead and see his picture, I mean, none of you shitheads are going to go ahead and see it unless he wants to go ahead and give it out to you. Okay? If he wants to give it out to you, that's his business. I wouldn't. I mean, I sort of like the idea Brian Wright shitting and pissing his pants. The same way with Matt Twat Zog Bot here when you go ahead and run across some of John's, you know, numerous relatives. I mean, you deserve to go ahead, you know, and not even see the fist that's going to go ahead and beat your ass thoroughly. You know what I mean? None of this stupid crap, you know. But anyway, I mean, we were just laughing our heads off with old Matt Twat Zog Bot jumping out here. And what happened? I posted my second picture, you know. I said, you're too smart for me, Matt Twat Zog Bot. And pretty well, I have it over on my forum. You know, pretty well, you know, the thing was, who stole my 55-gallon drill of my dog? But I said, you're too smart for me, Matt Twat Zogbot. So I went ahead and took a picture of Oba Gender Bendering Pissers Poofter Possum at the Sydney Walmart. I said, Oba Gender Bender Pisser Poofter Possum plus Matt Twat Zogbot. And I said, equals. And I went ahead and, you know, put a YouTube video of two of my crews, you know, said, oop, me so horny. Oop, me so horny. You know, I said, bottoms up, Matt Twat Zogbot. When you both are finished, I hope you know how to use, you know, what I say, I hope you know how to use the, machete. Then I said, well, hey, you ought to kill yourself after you get down here going to ask the mouth, you know, with over-gender-bender pussy possum. Well, anyway, well, Matt Twat Zogbot, he went ahead and showed a picture of him, himself, and he looks like some of the retarded hell that me and my brother used to hire here way back in the 80s after I got out of the Army and we're hauling hay here. I guarantee you I'll find out. Get on your porch and yip from there. You know, if you and your pathetic lap dog would learn to stay on your side of the fence, I wouldn't have to keep thanking you. Oops, I don't mean to get you excited, you sexual degenerate. See, the fact of the matter is, as Matt Twat Zogbot has been trying to go ahead and lure me and, you know, John Britton out here. I was just making fun of him, you know. And he says, this might be the septic tank, but you can keep your filthy pornography to yourself. I censored your filth so no one need be subjected to it. This debate thread is bad enough. Well, hey, look, Matt Twat Zogbot, I only posted one thing on here. You're the one that went ahead and posted it. Then you end up having Bama Man, you know, Bama Man. I call him Bama Mamser. You know, it's pointless arguing with him, blah, 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 blah. You know, he goes on there, and, you know, then John says something, and Obama Manzer says something else here. And, you know, I mean, some of this stupid crap is just so idiotic. He says, I have road trip spine. It's always good. You know, that's the name, that's the first name of, Sword Manzer. It's always good to have a crowbar. My personal information is public knowledge, so free call me anytime. I do think, though, it's most productive road trip to just come visit me and my family. We'd be glad to see you and welcome with open arms. Probably open legs, too. I'm going to lock this thread and leave it on a positive note. Seeing how my brother's fear in the face of the adversary confirms what my heart already told me. I am among my Israelite brethren. He went ahead and he locked the thread. Now, folks, this is not normal white behavior. This is tarred behavior. This is Wigger tarred and Mamzer tarred and the rest of these people trying to go ahead and show up. You know what I mean? They're trying to go ahead and pretend to be something that they're not. I mean, folks, the reason Wesley Swift's church disappeared under Richard Butler's direction is that, hey, nobody wanted to go ahead and have their sons, and certainly not their daughters, running around all these criminals, all these misfits, all these creatards, all these pagans, all these douchebags, all these idiots, and all these mamzers, nobody wanted to go ahead and put up with them. And speaking of mamzers, Sword Mamzer used to be on Diablo Negro's Aryan, you know, Pan-Aryan foot here. Essentially, you know, if you were a Nigger amoeba, you were a Pan-Aryan or something like that. And that's where Sword Mamzer, I think, first showed up about 2, 3, 4 years ago. He's a screwed-up little critter. And essentially, he just so wants, I mean, we ought to call him, you know, Mamzeric, Pinocchio Mamzer, because essentially he so wants to be a little white boy or maybe a little white female. I'm not quite sure which. The fact of the matter is he don't know how to go ahead and put up with this sort of thing. But, you know, anyway, where is this sort of thing? You go ahead and you listen to this sort of thing, and, you know, the fact of the matter is that, look, you can't go ahead and have somebody, you know, much less speaking to the congregation of Israel. You know, you can't have anybody within, you know, the house of Israel who isn't an Israelite. That's what the law says. And you sure as hell can't have him going ahead and telling white people what to do. Being a pastor or making out like a pastor or something like that. And the fact of the matter is, you go ahead and you bring in, you know, in your big tent, all these ass clowns, which you end up having is you end up having enough. Look, folks, I mean, if you end up having, let's say you have a tent of 30 clowns, and most of them are Quakers, and they're looking at each other, and they're wanting so hard to pretend to be Christian identity, but they're not. What good is it? Folks, this is not a time to go ahead and pretend to be something here. Now, 99.9999% Christianity is underground, and they know who they are because they know their family members. They know their longtime friends here. And some of these clowns essentially would not be, you know, they would not know a Christian Israelite if he's seen one, and they certainly wouldn't go ahead and fight this idiotic and criminal behavior among them. Going ahead and screaming like a banshee here, and, you know, going ahead and taking that positive versus and saying that we're going to go ahead and screw you up here, and how dare you not show your face here. Well, guess what? When you haven't shown your face, the reason you haven't shown your face is you're a mamzer. But, folks, I see a picture of John Britton. He got a full, you know, he's not a chrome drone like, you know, Brad Wright said here. He got a full set of blonde hair. And he looks, you know, I mean, he's thinner than me. He looks, you know, he looks like, he's a rather handsome looking man. But in any case, you know, he sort of looks like, well, let me see, sort of like Bosa Benson's younger brother or something like that here. And, yeah, I mean, well, he's this guy, you know, from Sweden, a Swedish actor who go ahead and play a number of Westerns. You know, if you don't know who Bosa Benson is, you know, probably going to go ahead and do a Wikipedia, you know, look of it here. In any case, here they end up going ahead and call me a Mamzer or a Cherokee or something like that. I don't really give a shit. I mean, especially my folks came from South Dakota. And, you know, I mean, having, you know, breeding with Indians was a no-no. I still remember my grandmother keening about her, you know, about her granddaughter, my first cousin Junie, marrying a freaking, you know, Cheyenne Indian. And my grandmother was just, she was heartbroken over it. She was crying, you know, she was crying over here. She was, you know, Junie married a damn Indian. That's all she could say for about a day or so. Junie married a damn Indian. Junie married a damn Indian. And essentially these little mamsters, they don't know how to behave. They're, you know, they're just like little animals. You know, they don't belong. They don't belong around there here. And critters like, you know, like sword mamser, they don't belong either. You know, there's something screwed up about them. You know, so is all these wigger tards. You know, and the fact of the matter is like old Matt Twat Zogbot, I was listening in to, you know, one of Bill's shows, and essentially it turned out that old Matt Twat Zogbot was raised and went to high school in Reston, Virginia. And I went ahead and said, oh, that's, you know, that's where the CIA usually lives. No. They weren't CIA. He was the CIA. He was a U.S. Geological Survey officer. Really? I mean, usually the headquarters of the U.S. Geological Survey is in Rolla, Missouri. I know, because I went to school at the University of Missouri, Rolla. Flunked out, but I went there. That's why Fort Leonard Wood is the Army's engineering post. Because, well, essentially, the Missouri School of Mines that was in technology, Missouri School of Mines is what it used to be called, was the first engineering, you know, state engineering school east of the Mississippi. And essentially, that's why they went ahead and stationed. So why would the U.S. Geological Survey, you know, be stationed, you know, in Reston? Essentially, Matt Twat Zogbot, he don't know how to freaking behave. He's just a little government little snitch who's going ahead and he's way over his head because he don't know how to behave. You go ahead and you see these clowns, and essentially they act like they sort of think, you know, with their little prison culture and the rest of the sort of thing, they act like they think white people should act. And the fact of the matter is that behavior essentially would go ahead and get you expelled, at least from Herbert's church, and it wouldn't even be tolerated. You know, in Wesley Swift's church. The fact of the matter is that most Christian identity people, they're godly people. They behave themselves. They don't go ahead and get out on the internet. They don't draw any attention to themselves. They don't go ahead and act like big and bad prison characters, and they certainly don't go ahead show pictures of the man tits here with a big old, with a big old knife here, acting like a tard. They don't go ahead and whine like a pussy, begging that somebody, once they started shit here, to go ahead and save them from being ridiculed for their stupid shit. That's not what's supposed to end up happening. But that is what ends up happening here too often, among these people who you never heard before, who want to go ahead and build a big tent Christian identity with rejects. Now, my plan totally is, essentially, things are going to fall apart. Essentially, what I want is 10,000 warlords and no more than about maybe 10 million white people left. And if need be, I'm not exactly, people say that I hate, and that I'm a hater and that I'm a racist. And yes, I am. And yes, I am a hater against regime criminals. But as far as the non-whites are concerned, it's not so much hatred. It's just a determination that they have no part among us. If I could go ahead and have peace and essentially let the niggers go ahead and have from Georgia to the east bank of the Mississippi, from Georgia to Mississippi, a free flow of the Mississippi to New Orleans, I'd go ahead and give them fucking niggers, whatever, their own little homeland, they can go ahead and kill and eat one another and ooga booga booga and do nigger shit all they freaking want. And just like in South Dakota, where they have reservations for Indians like they ought to, the same thing. Well, the same thing. But folks, the thing about it is I don't think things are going to end up that way. I think it's going to end up being a bloody war. And all these little national alliances and all these little pretend, Aryan nations, and Hank's a little bit late here. He didn't hear what happened to the Molts and Gullets, but essentially the Molts and Gullets went ahead and imploded. They went ahead and kicked out three of their tars, including Liar Bill DeClueless, but I don't think he was a major tar. But they went ahead and purged about 12 or 13 of their fucktards. And essentially it's no longer the Aryan Nations. It's what, National Socialist Alliance or something like that. And it happened this morning around 3 o'clock, Hadding, if you're listening, okay? So, essentially you end up having this stupid crap, and it just went ahead and it exploded here. And essentially the SPLC will probably go ahead and get one of their spies to listen in, and probably Tuesday they'll go ahead and listen to this movement turn. So this was breaking news. But folks, if you're not really serious and you're not really genuine, you're not fooling anybody. These people act like they're fooling me, and they're not. Old Buck was well, did that have anything to do with you not liking poor old Sword Member? He called him Sword Brother. I said, look, him and I hated each other from day one, and I was calling him Sword Member before you even freaking showed up after one of the movement turns. Sword Member's half white. I said, that don't cut very much ice with me here. As I look at here, you're not half white. You're either all non-white or you're all white. You're either one or the other. Don't give me any shit about Sword Man for being half white as if it means something here. We're about to have a nervous breakdown. Well, I don't give a shit. You don't need to have a nervous breakdown. He needs to go ahead, if he's a Mamzer, and understand he's a Mamzer in his place in society, essentially live a better life here rather than go ahead and trying to infiltrate white people. He get in there where he don't belong. He needs to understand his place. And if he's not white, he don't have a place among whites. Now, maybe I could go ahead and put him in a Gibeonite brigade here and essentially have a sort of place here where these people can go ahead and live in peace. But essentially, what they end up making, they're going to have to make their own life for themselves, and the white man isn't going to have to pay for it. That's what they need to understand. But the fact of the matter is there's no way to go ahead and have peace because there's neither Zog nor on the side of resistance is there anybody who can go ahead and cut a deal. Not me, not anybody else. The bowel movement is fragmented like crazy here, and you have every single little tard, and just like what happened with, you know, the Molson gullets, these idiots implode all by themselves. They don't even need a Jew to go ahead and make them implode. So what I am doing, essentially, is that things will fall apart. And like I was telling this young man, you know, Covington is wrong. 100 years from now, you know, things go on the way they are, there won't be white men. It's going to be a lot sooner. It's going to end up being like Haiti, and, you know, essentially, you know, they're going to go ahead and rise up and kill us all if we don't get our act together. But the thing about it is it's not going to go ahead and be Civil War II like Robert E. Lee and all that. It's going to be far more like Bloody Bill Anderson and the rest here. And you people who think I'm a total asshole for talking about rape and murder and killing of millions and millions and millions of people, then whining here, the warlord might want a little bit of pussy off a nigger or a Jewess or something else here, whining like a pussy about what an asshole I am. Well, you better get fucking over it here. You better learn to go ahead and start thinking about what's really going to freaking happen and stop acting like a clown. That's the problem with big tent anything, white nationalism or Christian identity. Sooner or later, that big tent turns into a big top, and you, the punitive leader, are pretty well trying to go ahead, ring lead, and educate among your various ass clowns. And it's a total stupid thing to do. Most cases, you don't control anything over what? You know, your local, you know, I mean, you're not even Napoleon who can control about 20 subordinates. You're not even, in a lot of cases, some of you, you know, leaders ain't even leaders at all. But if you were, you couldn't control over 4 or 5 people anyway. So quit trying to go ahead and pretend that you have control when you don't have control. You need to go ahead and understand the way things are. You need to understand what is going on. And that's what this show is about here. It's pretty well telling about all the failures and all the other things here that are going wrong and then pretending that it's not your fault. Well, guess what? Maybe it's not your fault, but whining about it ain't going to do you a damn bit of good. I mean, listen to the Molks and Gullets. Essentially, all they did was whine that the niggers and Jews are fucking them over. Well, yes, they are. That's what niggers and Jews and non-whites do to wiggers. Quit whining as if you have any such thing as constitutional rights or anything like that. Get used to it. The only way you're going to go ahead and have your freedom is if you're willing to go ahead and kill anybody who fucks with you. And you need to go ahead and learn that. You need to go ahead and learn that. If you don't learn it, well, you're not going to make it. Anyway, I seem to have lost connection, you know, to TalkShoe. But anyway, maybe, you know, maybe the little meerkat, you know, Hattie sort of relieved here that I'm not really, you know, I'm not really dumping on him and Wigger's wheel. What happens with all the stupid shit, I haven't even had a chance to go ahead and spy over 4 or 5 feeds here. I mean, I sort of neglected that. I was pretty well looking at what I, you know, what was important, you know, or what was, you know, what was going on at the time. So I didn't have time to go over at 4 or 5 feeds here. Maybe Hattie can go ahead and tell me what the hell's going on. You know what I mean? But, in any case, anyway, yeah, I end up, I'm trying to go ahead and find out what's going on here. Now, folks, I don't have anything against, you know, Bill Fink and Eli James and the rest of you. I have problems with Sword Mamser. But, you know, and, you know, the wolf's hard here. Because the fact of the matter is just like, you know, the rest of these places, you go ahead and you let a tard run things. Essentially what they'll do is the first thing they'll do is try to go ahead and get rid of the genuine white man who will not put up with them. And the thing about it is, look, folks, it's not a very good thing to go ahead and get rid of your genuine white activists here, especially. The thing about it is that I hadn't posted a single damn thing over at Fink's Forum for a month and a half. And then these little tards, they got to go ahead and they got to start some shit here. And then I show up and essentially I make all of, what, two, maybe three posts all together outside my own subforum, then trashing the little tards. And they remind me way back in, what, 2000 when I got kicked off of Holy Whores. Used to be some character named Reverend William F. Templeton, and I called him Simpleton. And essentially, I'd go ahead on my Christian Nationalist Yahoo group, and it's still up there. And essentially, I talk about syphilitic Baal priest idiots here. And old Simpleton would have no more sense than to go ahead and copy all the stuff, mean stuff I was saying about him and Clint Downey and her little meerkat and Blanchard Manser Belisle, Bill Anderson, and Richard Kazar Dick Niemel of the Jew. And essentially, the idiot would go ahead and bring what I wrote like a dead stinking catfish over to old Holy Whores. They whine like a pussy about what I wrote about them. And, essentially, all these people, they started first, Marty, he's vicious. He's evil. He's twisted. He's scatological. He's this, he's that. But eventually, what happens is that I was going ahead and I had a spy on Holy Whores. And I was just screwing with them. And sooner or later, Clunt, she was the smartest one of the lot. She figured out that dragging all these Linstead posts over to Holy Whores wasn't doing them much good. I mean, yes, they end up having a lot more readership, but people just go ahead and laughing their heads off at it. But essentially, they end up doing just like Stormfront and the gut-sick Guido Weasel with two-ass cancer Alex Linder over on BNNF, and they end up having a pretty well like no Linstead, don't even mention his name. Sort of like SPLC, ADL, well, there's a no Linstead policy. And generally, that's usually what ends up happening. I got somebody on the air here. Let me see. Who do I got?
Hey, Chief.
Hey,
I heard you mention Bloody Bill Anderson earlier. I was just kind of breezing through, and I don't know, man. That's a really hot subject for most people that like Civil War history. I mean, that was quite a white man right there, definitely. And I was just surprised that, somebody mentioned him and knew about him. So that's really
well.
Cool.
I live in Missouri, and I was locked up in the nut house in Fulton, which is Callaway County. And essentially, Callaway County was called the Kingdom of Callaway, and they still go ahead. Essentially, what it was a bandit headquarters. And Jesse James pretty well ran from Little Dixie, which was a section of the Missouri River which went across from Kansas City to St. Louis. And they end up having slaves on the riverbanks growing cotton. And essentially, you end up having a civil war in Missouri, and it was a bloody civil war. And I think Bloody Bill Anderson, he got killed at Fulton. So, yes, it was a very bloody war. And way back in the 1980s, I was hauling hay with my brother after I got out of the Army, and I was pretty well fit. And I was, hauling hay for money, of course, these square bales. There was this little guy
that's
named Hammond.
Nasty work right there.
Well, they can't even get anybody to haul hay anymore. I mean, it's so hard to get, back in my day here.
It'll make a man out of you. But I tell you, once they got welfare, that was it, man. Niggas aren't going to do that stuff anymore, so.
It was hard work, and I used to go ahead and haul everything from 120-pound alfalfa bales. And, that was nasty because if they, the leaves would just be so dirty, and you'd end up being, you ended up looking like a chocolate chip nigger here with all the leaves here, which would dry up on it. And, I usually preferred fescue bales. But we were hauling just regular fescue and Timothy hay. There's this old guy named Rambo. He was 86 years old. And essentially the question came up with Civil War. And he says, we don't talk about Civil War around here. And he says, why not? He says, my grandfather was pretty well a farmer in the Civil War. And essentially, you end up having a guerrilla force come through, and they say they want your horse, they want your hogs. You didn't say a word. Because if you went ahead and said something to anything, they'd just go ahead and shoot and kill you, and that would be the end of it.
Well, that's pretty much how it is in any guerrilla conflict. I mean, I don't think it would be any different if it happened today in America. I mean, you know, you'd have the federal troops would come by and be harsh, and, of course, your partisans would come by and treat the population harshly, and it'd be a really good idea for everybody to pick a side real quick. So,
well, the thing about it is that most of these farmers, like, you know, Farmer Rambo's grandfather and great-grandfather, what happens, it didn't matter what side they were. I mean, if you ran your mouth, you get shot regardless.
Right.
And the county north of me, here in Jasper, Barton County, you know, they used to have a bunch of homesteaders, living there at the start of the Civil War. And you'd end up having, you know, fights between the Jayhawkers, you know, from people from Kansas. And then, you know, I mean, if you want to go ahead and see a movie, which is sort of like it was, go ahead and look at this. He's a little goop director who went ahead and did that Brokeback Mountain thing. But, you know, I don't recommend watching that. But I do recommend watching Ride with the Devil with Tobey Maguire. And essentially, that was the way it was. It was, you know, kill or be killed and no quarter. And essentially, you run your mouth, you didn't have a bolt in your head. And, you know, pretty well, they don't like talking about it. I went ahead and mentioned last week's program that Jesse James survived, and essentially he got taken down by his cowardly little second cousin who was a traitor who shot him in the back. The Democrats who lost the war, they still went ahead and, you know, I mean, they didn't want to go ahead and bring back, you know, the bloody time. It was a bloody time. I mean, it was a real bloody time. The county north of me, they only had 5 houses left, you know. I mean, every single other house got burned to the ground. Now, here in this area, it's the edges of the Ozarks. And what happens, it really wasn't slave country, but Neosho was the Confederate capital. But most of the time, you'd have these, you know, these guerrillas during the winter that go south to Texas, and they come back. And pretty well, they'd be fighting from spring to fall, then they'd, you know, go down to Texas. Then they come back, and they did that for 4 years. It was guerrilla war. And pretty well, what I've said is that Robert E. Lee, you know, Stonewall Jackson lost the war. They should have gone ahead and done like Bloody Bill Anderson and the rest here.
Exactly. That's what Jefferson Davis wanted, I think, really. But
Lee was
a West Point gentleman, you know, and he had to go and, you know, do things by the European book, and
He was a good Christian gentleman. That good Christian gentleman lost the war.
Yeah, and you needed guys like Bloody Bill Anderson, which, you know, anytime you have a war like that and you have a guerrilla element to it, you can have a lot of opportunists and criminal thugs and people like that, that jump in and cash in. But I don't think he was like that. You know, I mean, they killed his
His sister, what happens, they rounded up, it was a counter.
He went to Ricky the old prison.
They rounded up his his sisters and put them in this building, and pretty well the second story collapsed because they had too many women in it. And pretty well one of the sisters died, and, you know, pretty well, you know, he became a rather vengeful man. That's why they called him Bloody Bill. And, you know, essentially, you know, there was no quarter asked. And the thing about it is, it's going to be even worse. It's going to be even worse in time ahead. And pretty well, what I'm saying as a plan, and the reason that Zog is scared of Christian identity is it says that Jews are the literal spawn of Satan, and that, you know, non-whites are the six-day beasts of the field. They have no right to live among whites. And, you know, essentially, you end up having a racial religion. And what I'm seeing is that things are going to fall apart just like they did in Rome, just like they did in the Mycenaean era, and you have a dark age. But it's going to be even worse. And Jesus Christ says there's going to be a great tribulation, and that unless he goes ahead and returns, there's no flesh going to be saved. And as a result, what I've been trying to do as a member of an Aryan Nations faction, as a Christian identity, you know, priester, I'm just pretty well teaching that we'll end up having probably 10,000 warlords and 10 million people, and that's all that's going to be left here. You're going to end up having 150 million dead Uyghurs and 140 million dead Muds, and that's going to end up, happening here. And pretty well, Zog is scared crapless because what Zog should be scared of is not, not being really overthrown by a state force, but by simple chaos. And that's what I see coming. And I end up having...
Well, there's a lot of elements there that kind of parallel the Roman Empire. And, see, empires don't last that long if you really think about it. I mean, nations do, but empires don't. Empires don't last nearly as long as a nation by definition. You know, in America, it's an empire. It's not a nation anymore. You know, yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it's just that stuff filters in, and you know what? I mean, sometimes I don't even forget where I got it, but I mean, it's golly, I've been on that kick for 10 years probably, but. I don't really know as much about Chris Chandain as I probably should. I mean, I find it very interesting, to say the least. And I've been trying to kind of, I mean, it's hard to get a straight answer from people as a rule, when it comes to stuff like that. Because, I mean, everybody wants to put a little slight spin on it, to kind of put their name on it or their particular.
Yeah, that's another problem I end up having. You end up having these people, and they got to go ahead and put their own little stuff to it. Now, I'm a political pastor, and you end up having these, you never come up with anything new in Christian identity, Marty. And I say, you idiot. You idiots, coming up with anything new, beyond Bertrand Comparay, I have no interest in doing that at all. You're not going to go ahead, I do know all the heresies, and sometimes I like repeating the Millet Willie Martin heresy to niggers or Jews about how Satan disguised himself as a nigger here, and he showed his big black steak to old Eve, and she said, "That's quite a peach here," and she went ahead and rolled over, and that's how come Jews have 5 to 15% nigger marker genes here, And what happens, both niggers and Jews, they don't like the Willie Martin heresy. But,
it's pretty interesting because I don't know if you came across this article, but there's some article getting passed around. It's just going all over the internet right now where so there's been some things discovered recently on the origins of man where, like, mainstream scientists, when I say mainstream, I'm not talking about mainstream American or mainstream British. I'm talking about mainstream as in all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, there are other opinions on things from people who study. But they're starting to think that people do not share a common ancestor. In fact, people might share several different, there might be several different breeds of human being from several different ancestors.
Have you ever heard of Dr. Carlton Coon?
The name sounds familiar, but I don't think I know his stuff.
The five races of mankind. And essentially, he used to be president of the American Anthropological Association. And essentially, he went ahead and he said there were five major kinds of men here. There were whites, and then there were sort of not quite whites, and there were Orientals, and then there were niggers. And he called them Congoids.
Yeah,
Oliver called them, called Washington, D.C., the District of Congoids. And he said that, the Congoids were the younger race. And what happens is that he used to write a book, and in anthropology, it was the textbook of the time, just like Robert Samuelson's, the Jews' economics test. It used to be the text for college students. And you can still see Dr. Carlton Coon's books in the back shelf of these college libraries.
Well, that would kind of go along with what you're saying, don't you think? I mean,
Christian identity, the dual seed line version. See, what happens is, Christian identity simply says is that northern and western white people are the, quote, Ross 10, or actually 13 tribes of Israel, because there's more than 10 tribes which got deported by the Assyrians. And some of them, I mean, if you get into it, some of them, already migrated because, the land of Palestine, even back then,
I
really couldn't hold over 3 million people here. So the basics of Christian identity is that northern and western Europeans are the, quote, lost 10 tribes or 13 tribes.
Yeah, I got that.
Then you have British Israelitism here, and if you were in the Worldwide Church of God, which was the biggest of the outfits here, one time it had 156,000 people attend.
Well, that goes back to the 1700s, doesn't it? I mean, that's old.
Well,
I mean,
no,
British
Israelism. Well, British Israelitism started about the same time as, you know, modern British Israelitism. But go ahead and look. If you go ahead and look, is that essentially Tertullian and the old church fathers, they, you know, they knew where they come from. They knew the Jews were the spawn of Satan and all this sort of thing. And essentially, dual seed line is the original Christianity. But, you know, because they knew where Jews came from. They knew that Jews were evil and that they were the sons of, you know, that they were spawn of Satan here. And, but anyway, British Israelitism, I mean, its biggest thing was Herbert Armstrong, and he, you know, pretty well it scattered all over the place. So usually I was pretty well raised in Herbert the Pervert's church, and I was pretty well talking about it. But there's a lot of Christian identity people who know the Christian identity truth. But then you have dual seed line, and what dual seed line says is that the Jews are the literal spawn of Satan through Satan's seduction of Eve, and that the so-called worldwide flood was just a local flood. Now,
yeah,
there is some disagreement as to where the non-whites came from. Most of them say that they're the six-day beasts in the field, that they were around. They were created before Adam, who was created on the eighth day, you know, which is the vast majority of the Comparian view. But then again, you have the Wesley Swift view, and you end up having the Emma Heiser and Fink view that, no, maybe, you know, they were made by Satan and they came in, you know, through flying saucers. And there are people, you know, and my friend Pastor John Britton, he believes mainly in they were created by Satan and brought over here. And I believe in the Comparian thing here, but generally we don't fight over it here because, well, when it comes down to it, they don't belong among white people, you know. So there's no,
right.
I mean, you know, there's really no reason to fight, fuss over some stupid shit that don't really matter that much here. You know, I mean, some people.
Well,
really
it's just an interesting thing, really, to a
something. I mean, you know, I have better things to do than argue. You know, about that. You know, I mean, you hear about the 200 watchers, and, you know, once you understand it, you understand that, well, it wasn't just Satan who was miscegenating. But like I've gone ahead and pointed out to others, I mean, it's hard enough to go ahead and teach Wiggers about Satan being the, you know, son of the Jews here without adding another 200 demons to go ahead and muddy up the lot. You know, once they learn Christian identity, they can go ahead and get as big or as little into it as they please. You know, I'm a political
right.
pastor. And, you know, essentially, you know, what I'm trying to do is essentially go ahead and openly admit that, you know, especially dual seed line Christianity is the white man's racial hate religion. And there will be some warlords who will be just like Clovis in the 400s who gave up being a Wodenist, even though he claimed descent from Woden, and become a Catholic, the better to go ahead and conquer all these little tribes and unite them under his government. And you're going to end up having that sort of thing. You're going to have wars and wars and wars and wars. You're going to have one heck of a civil war. Essentially, just like the Roman Catholic Church picked up after Rome fell, pretty well what I want is you know, these 10,000 warlords to go ahead and pick up on Christian identity. Whether or not they actually believe in it, I mean, hey, it's an excuse to go ahead and kill Jews and, you know, non-whites. And essentially, it is the way things are arranged. I mean, getting these people together is impossible, and the breaking news I had was that the biggest Aryan Nations faction, you know, I'm an Aryan Nations faction according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, but the biggest one, which was with Paul Mullett, who's a criminal from August Christ. And
yeah,
there's
been a lot of noise about him lately. I don't know the guy at all. I mean,
he's just a lazy bum and a criminal from, you know, petty criminal.
See, one of my guys went and brought up knowing him the other day, or had met him, not knowing him, but had met him and one thing or another, and he was kind of recruiting around a little bit. And
they asked me about him.
I said, well, I don't know the guy. I mean, you know, I mean,
well,
you got internet access. You can look around.
I don't know. What happens is that this time yesterday morning, they had Night of the Long Dorks here. And essentially what they did is that they purged about 12 or 15 members. They're talking about three major traitors, and one of them is Major General Gordon, who's just been declared a traitor. And what happens is that now Gullet is given off claiming to be an Aryan nation, and now he's the Reich Chancellor or Reich whatever of the National Socialist whatever thing here.
Okay.
I mean, this happened within the past 20 hours. This is breaking news here, and it wasn't in the SPLC thing. I mean, I just noticed it. I called this old guy in Ohio who used to know, Ray Redfern and Morris Gillette, pretty well took care of their, the property or the trust fund of their church, and I was asking, say, hey, look, you need to get rid of Liar Bill the Clueless, because he's a criminal. He's a traitor, and essentially all you have to do is just look at him on Clan of, I call it Clan of Mouncers. It was the Gangland episode. He's just sitting looking like a tard. And all you have to do is look at Missouri CaseNet, and you find out that he went ahead and had a deal planned when he, for 5 years, spent an imposition of sentence. So he went ahead, and he's been knocking on people. And, look, Gillette, you need to get rid of that worthless bastard. Well, from what I gather, he changed his name to Aryan War Dog, or I call him Aryan War Hog, and from my guess, his ass has been banned too. So essentially, everything I went ahead and talked about a half hour before the show began, then I went ahead and checked, and I guess I'll go ahead and call the guy tomorrow and tell him, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I just
don't worry about all this stuff.
You start talking about something to do with Bloody Bill, and that's when I started to call in, but the.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had some experience with different Aryan Nation factions, and I mean, it's kind of you got some kind of crackpots and your criminal, your petty criminals and your big time criminals, and then you've got some guys who are just kind of showing up like, hey, is this where the barbecue is? I mean, am I in the right place?
Yeah, this is where the beer. Yeah, free beer.
And the people I'm not really sure, you know what I'm saying? If they've joined the right Aryan Nations or not, and they're still trying to figure that out. And
if I look at it, supposedly the Aryan Nations was supposed to be the political arm of the Church of Jesus Christ Christian. What I'm doing is that 40 years ago when Butler took over, instead of Connie Lynch, she was all murdered. Pretty well, Butler went ahead and finished off the family-based church of Wesley Swift. Instead, decided to get all these skinheads and these criminals, these knuckleheads and these idiots, all this rabble, and had a paramilitary force. And as a result, they went ahead and drove out all the family men, because your family men don't want to go ahead and deal with these idiots, and they certainly don't want their sons fighting with them, and they certainly don't want their daughters around these idiots.
I'm not saying against any particular subculture or whatever, but I will say that, the older you get and the more you set your eyes on, family and home and stuff like that, the less tolerance you normally get for that crowd.
Well,
that
the thing is you're pumping in chaos and taking out discipline. Yeah, Swiss Church went from around 4,000 or so to, by the time Butler died, he just had a bunch of characters like Rick Spring, who was a criminal, and then what happened? He had a fight with
Rick. I knew Rick. What about
Rick Spring went ahead and admitted to being an informant. Well, his wife went ahead and stitched on first, but everybody knew he was probably an informant because
there's a lot of funny stuff going on around that whole thing. I have no idea what was what. I knew Rick pretty well, and I considered him a friend before he disappeared. And what's that?
He disappeared around 2007. Why?
What happened was he disappeared, and I'm talking, I cannot find a soul that's heard a peep out of him. And to tell you the truth, I mean, I'm not out here, being an alarmist or whatever, but I would be real surprised if somebody got the little email that got sent out, the one saying, I'm a little informant, Yahweh forgive me, and all that good stuff. I wouldn't be real shocked to find out one day that somebody bad news got in that email and, did them in.
Well,
I mean,
maybe Zog. Maybe Zog went ahead and did in, you know, their defective spot.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of that going on around that time, too. You know, there was a lot of people getting, you know, NAD cut. You know, it was one of those little every 3 years they do a little sweep and some people disappear and some people get into some kind of odd, weird circumstance. Some people get in trouble. And sometimes it's legit, like in the case of Kevin Alfred Strong. Sometimes it's, okay, it is what it is, and there you go. But they'll grab somebody that's had it coming for a long time for something like that, and then it'll get like four or five good people, and then you'll see a lot of faces disappear at the same time, whether they go into, you know, the witness protection program or to a shallow grave or go into hiding on their own, whatever the case is. You know how it is. I mean, you've been around for a while. You've been through a few of these
sweeps. Well, I've been around. I was pretty well talking about the chimping going on, you know, under Fink's form here, about all these little stupid little criminals and numbers who, essentially, they're tough. They're tough because I was in prison, you know. And, no, you're not tough. I've seen you tough little criminals. Essentially, I mean, you're idiots is what you are. You're idiots, and you know you're
talking about a modern prison. I mean, you know, you don't have to be tough to be in any of that. I mean, we just got done talking about Kevin Alfred Strom. I mean, my God, he's done time.
I don't think he actually did it, but he was just a total pussy here, and he let his women go ahead and screw him up.
I'm not a judge of him by any stretch of imagination, but, you know, the evidence is kind of, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, but at the same time, that's not enough to throw a man in jail, of course, but,
well,
you know, it seemed kind of weird.
I spent 3.5 years in Nut House and, you know, jail because I wouldn't go ahead and roll over on a bogus child molestation case. And, you know, essentially their case, you know, $100,000 cash bond, and here's these people who are guilty as hell who actually raped somebody. You know, there's plenty of evidence, and they have 5 cases of rape and 5 cases of statutory sodomy here. They're about 10, you know, 20 cases for about 400 freaking years, and they end up having bond of $20,000. And here they go ahead and say that I allegedly kissed my grandson's, you know, pee-pee, and how are they going to prove that crap? And essentially, I have a $100,000 bond. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And essentially, I wouldn't kiss her ass. So, you know, I mean, I got a little juice psychiatrist medical student, you know, and you had this worthless piece of shit named Steven Manchia, who's called the conductor because he just rubber stamps these nut things here. And I got sent for a psychotic disorder not otherwise specified, which is bullshit. They just say you're nuts, and then you end up being sent there. Wouldn't even let me go ahead and see the thing so I could challenge it. And essentially, I got illegally doped up until finally I managed to go ahead and get this fresh out of medical school. We went ahead and took me off the dope, and I managed to go ahead and pretend that I'd accept a lawyer. And then once I got declared competent, well, I dumped the little legal weasel and insisted on being my own lawyer, and then ended up, you know, I need to have law books, and then ended up having all the other people in jail while they want to dump their public pretender and they want access to a law library. So essentially they took the thing from $100,000 down to $10,000. And then once I was able to go ahead and get out, essentially when it came time for preliminary hearing, my grandson said, well, he didn't do any such thing. You know what I mean? So, you know, there the case went. But, hey, three and a half years, you know, in the nut house. And
that's worse in prison.
Huh?
That's really worse in prison, my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have
people here who are convicted, you know, I mean, real child molesters here, you know, essentially said, Biggs, you went to Biggs? Well, hell, that's way worse than prison here. And essentially what happens is...
Yeah, I've been there to visit people, and, I mean, it might be stretching a little bit.
It's fucking dangerous. You have to go ahead and keep an eye on them because, hey, they can kill you and get away with it because guess what? They're nuts.
And they know it, most of them.
They know it. I mean, Biggs is, you know, super violent. You know, essentially, you know, I went ahead and admit I was a Klansman and Aryan Nations here, and the niggers were usually scared of me. But, you know, occasionally you'd get a crazy nigger here, and he'd be looking at you like a baboon and working up his courage here. You get to where if you're locked up in jail or anything time soon here, you learn to, you know, keep an eye on the back of your head. You're able to detect little stealthy nigger feet sneaking up on you with a plastic chair or whatever. And it's, you know, I mean, I tell people stories from the nut house and they believe me because, shit, it's so freaking unbelievable that, you know, I mean, you couldn't make this shit up. And, there were a bunch of, you know, actual criminals. Oh, my God, I'd rather be sent on death row than, you know, the nut house. It ain't exactly that bad. But it is, you know, you have to... I mean, you could go ahead and just be crazy, you know, and just give into it. But most of the time, you have to keep your wits about you in the nut house because, you know, in some cases, shoot, the staff are nuttier, you know, than the clientele there. I mean, it's just a
they're smelling the sewer all the time, you know. I mean, I could see that working on you over time. I mean, anytime you hang out with somebody that's a little off the rocker, I mean, I think it kind of lowers your standing points a little bit. Much less do it for a living, you know.
Well, what happens over at Biggs, you know, what happens to every single one of them, I mean, they got combat pay, and they did earn it. I mean, but what they do is they end up having little bitty 5'6" females here, and then they'd end up going ahead and get shit beat out of them. Mm-hmm. And then what happens, they have on every ward, they have at least one or two real big, what they really loved is they loved Samoans, because Samoans, you know, I mean, there was a Samoan, he was only about 2 inches taller than me. He was 6'4", but he weighed 415 pounds here. And here I was 6'2", and I weighed only 218. He was 3'2".
I always thought that they must be from an area that has got the most plentiful food supply. You know?
I don't know what the hell.
Most native people are always small, short folks, you know?
Yeah, but
like you're
Samoans. I mean, that's why they're recruiting from there. Them Samoan niggers, they're huge. They're huge.
That's just,
I mean,
even
the short ones, they're freaking huge.
Most of the time, you can find people that are short in stature, you know, your non-whites or whatnot, usually come from a stock of people that hadn't had proper nutrients, a readily available food supply, that sort of thing. And you just think the Samoans must have always had it good from day one. But you know what? The more hospitable the climate, the more hospitable the area, the dumber the people. I mean, that's just a fact.
Well, I don't know. Then Samoans, most of them ain't that really dumb. I mean, they're huge, though. You know, I mean, they're huge. I mean,
well, when you take
huge.
Europe, I mean, on the other hand,
you'd have some real big white guys, too, here. And essentially, the ones, you know, when they have staff alert, usually they go ahead and have the big, you know, big, you know, big Negroes and big white guys. Essentially, what they do is that the nuts are so screwed up here most of the time, and none of them can get along, and they have them always at each other's throat, and they usually jump on them. You know, by the way, women are nuttier, far nuttier than men is. I mean, you know, the woman's ward. I mean, literally, they would have more calls to that, you know, to them, to the girlies' ward, than they would have to the rest of Biggs all combined. I mean, other, you know, 10, 12 other wards here with the men, you know, the girls' ward would have, you know, far more. And first day I was there is, well, why are all these people going to B3? Well, that's the women's ward. I said, well, are they all on the rag? Well, what happens after 30 days, you figure out they're always on the rag. And essentially they have staff support, and, you know, the women are the worst. You know, women are the worst, even the
men. Well, you see, that would almost have to be like an instinctual thing, you know, instinctual thing.
They have them all combined here, and they have different, very, you know, different types of nuttiness. You know,
how, I mean, you can get 200 guys in open bay barracks, and most of them will get along fine for the most part, and you get three women living together, and they'll want to kill each other in a 24-hour
period. Well, yeah, that's pretty well the way it was. You know, the girls were the worst. The girls
I tell you the truth, I never want to live with multiple women if I can help it. I mean, that's the best thing about, you know, girl children getting older and getting married and moving off.
So how old are you, guess number 22?
What's that?
How old are you, guest number 22?
Oh, I am 36 years old.
Oh, okay. Well, you seem like you've seen a lot.
No, not really. Well, you know me. I mean, Christopher Drake.
Oh, you're the guy on BNNF here. You know,
no, right? I hadn't been on that. I hadn't been there in, Lord, man, a year or two.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
I hadn't gone back to BNNF.
Well, used to fight with old Mike Blevins, you know, Flash Blonde Blevins, didn't you?
Yeah, we got into it a couple times. I mean, it was sillies, all it was. It was just, you know, stuff that it doesn't matter today whatsoever. And, I mean, we both,
in my opinion. You think Mike Blevins is a Jew?
I don't really think so. I mean, I think, you know, maybe somewhere along the line, maybe something like that. But, I mean, I've met him in person plenty of times and hung out with him. He just, and I've known enough Jews in my life that I just don't feel like he's Jewish. I mean, honestly. I mean, that's
there's some people who say he isn't. What happens is that I got banned. Well, what happens, I went ahead and, one of the sock puppets I used was one called Richard John Reltney. And what happens is that Reltney is British slang for penis. And what happens is that, you know, I went ahead and learned that when I was in the Army here. reading some of the penthouses here and looking out here. And anyway, I thought it was a hilarious thing. So I go ahead and call myself, John Richard Reltney. And, you know, then what happens is that when people figure out what Reltney was, I'd say, well, you can call me Dick, you know, Dick Reltney. And what happens is I just went ahead and ripped old Linder a whole new one. He didn't know who it was. And essentially he went ahead and banned old John Reltney. And what happens, one of my spies was just laughing his head off, and then I told him it was me, and he didn't believe it. Well, anyway, I got on over on Four Fag Steeds as John Reltney, and pretty well I was fighting with old Mikey Kaki Jukes Calicat Connor over on VN, on Voice of Retards. And pretty well, I think I went ahead and I told the old Ragnow, whose mother died of cancer, that it was actually me, and I could, commiserate. I'm not sure if old Ragnow went ahead and ratted me out, but old Mikey Kaki went ahead and figured out that John Reltney was, it was Martin Lindstedt. And then Wiggerswill and Hadding, they went ahead and, Mikey Kaki told them, and they ended up going ahead and getting me banned off of Four or Five Steeps.
Mm.
But while I was pretending just to be one time I had a name like Ben Cameron, and I got in a fight with Julian Lee. And Julian Lee just went ahead, he's just a total poser fucktard. He went ahead and gave me some neg rep here, so I got mad and told him, asked him if he went ahead and saved his mayonnaise, his cum in his baby food jars or his mayonnaise jars, and cooked it up for his eggs and for his steak and eggs of a morning. And old Kevin O'Keefe went ahead and banned me for that here.
Hmm.
And then later on, as John Reltney. What happens is that I was fighting with old Richard Barrett, who talked shit about me. He talked shit about me, the worthless, evil old faggot, lawyer, piece of shit. He went ahead and he talked shit about me. And I went ahead and said, well, hey, Richard Barrett, you knew he was killed by a faggot nigger. I mean, if he went in prison or anything like that, you could tell the nigger is a faggot. I mean, them niggers, they don't hide the fact that they're faggots. They won't play a cock. And essentially, he went ahead and got killed by a nigger faggot. And pretty well, old Von Blumens went ahead and gave me a bunch of neg rep, and so did old Kevin O'Keefe. And then when they figured out that old John Reilly...
I'm kind of surprised that Mike would like Richard Barrett. See, I hadn't talked to Mike in years, probably. And, I mean, I thought he always disliked Richard Barrett, or at least thought that Richard Barrett was fake, or...
He gave me a hard time.
I mean, I could be wrong.
There's something, for talking shit about, someone you didn't like here. And I went ahead and saved it here, because I figured out, here Hadding and, Mikey Kaiki and the rest of these people, they were bitching for, I mean, you banned him here. Listen, he's a maniac. He's a sociopath. He advocates violence, and that's true. But, here he is, and we banned his ass here, and you need to ban his ass again here. And he's talking shit, he's siding with Covington, he's doing this, he's doing that. And, hey, old Wiggerswill end up having my, Wiggerswill and my, and Hadding and the rest end up having my ass banned off of over Four or Five Seats. But what happens is that old Mike sort of figured out that, you know, the guy he was talking shit about, giving a bunch of neg rep to, was none other than, well, me. And he sort of took off running about a week, about a couple of days before I ended up getting banned. And, I guess he sort of thought is that Winston ain't going to forgive me for this shit. Well, anyway, old Kevin O'Keefe, I've gone ahead and, you know, now that I've been outed here, I gone ahead and I post, you know, as the Reltney identity, you know, working toward the Reltney supremacy / Reltney ultimatum, and I go ahead and play that little song by Moby here, and I have a picture of Matt Damon with a little, you know, from the movie things here, you know, and he's the Reltney identity. And essentially, I go ahead and, you know, I've had sock puppets on BNNF, and I've had sock puppets on Fort Still Do, and over at Spermfront, and, you know, pretty well.
You know what? That's the thing. I can't troll because I love to write, and when I get going, then it totally sounds like me, and everybody's going to know it's me.
Well, that's the same problem I have if I go ahead and let myself. You know, what happens is I didn't go ahead and control myself after essentially I got knocked out. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, I was on there for the better part of a year or something like that here. You know what I mean?
I thought about going back to being in like that, but then I was like, you know what? I really can't enjoy myself, you know? So, and I don't know. I don't really feel comfortable on there like I used to. I mean, all my friends that used to post there are pretty much gone.
They're all gone. You go ahead and look from a thread even, what, a year or two ago, half of them are gone.
Yeah, they just went crazy banning people, and Leonard never banned me. I mean, he got that kind of weird towards me for a while there, but, you know,
as a result of revealing yourself, you might very well end up having your ass banned anyway now. You know what I mean?
I talk to whoever I want to talk to, Chief. I mean, I'm not really tied to, you know, one moderator or one group leader or anything like that. And I mean, I got my own guys and stuff, and I'm not too worried. I'm really not worried about somebody like Alex Linder telling me I can't post from his board anymore.
Well, Linder, I met
that
Linder.
That breaks my heart a bit.
You ever meet Linder in person?
You know what? That's been one of the few people I've never ran into, and I thought it was always kind of funny because, you know, I mean, I just got done defending Mike saying that, you know, I don't think he's a Jew, but everybody's always talked about Linder looking like a Jew, you know? And
well,
it was funny
life,
because
in real life, he's 6'1", because I met him in May of 2004. You know, I went to go ahead and see Butler, and what happened, Linder was sort of looking at me. I mean, I essentially have a set of iron lungs, you know, as a result of running for office. And, you know, I mean, I can go ahead and yell and scream pretty loud. And Linder was looking at me, and then what a wonderful, you know, I'm going to go ahead and have this guy who I met the other day, he's going to go ahead and take some of this video footage. And Corn Cob, you know, I met Craig Cobb. You know, I met old Corn Cobb at there, and I went to see.
He's a cool guy in person, man. I like
Corn Cob's okay here. It's just he's a creatard. And, you know, generally what happens is I look at his stuff, and, you know, he's a devout creatard. And he's one of the few creators, you know, him and Mike Mazzone and, you know, Jimmy Von Brunn is about the very first few creatards I can stand. I mean, most of them I cannot stand at all because they go ahead and they scream, well, you Christians worship a dead Jew on a stick. And then I go ahead and say, well, you creatards worship a dead Jew on a dick. And man, the argument and the pissing him on is there.
Well, what I was saying about Linder.
You meet Linder. He's actually 6 foot, you know, not quite 6'1". I'm 6'2". He's a little bit shorter than me. He got really light brown hair. He got, you know, he got light-colored eyes. And he looks like an Aryan. But he has such a freaking furtive note of him here that, you know, when you're looking at him, you end up seeing more and more and more like a little Guido, you know, a little Guido.
Well,
you know,
I've seen pictures of him. I don't think personally he looks like a Jew, but everybody's always saying that about him.
Well,
and it's funny because he defends Mike, too. He doesn't like, I don't think he likes Mike Blevins or he wouldn't have banned him, but he's always kind of defending Mike. And I'm always thinking it's because of the fact that Linder's been accused of that so many times himself that, you know, he just gets tired of people throwing that around. But,
well, Linder,
I mean,
see,
you know, he's a crazy guy.
I've met Trader Glenn Miller, and, you know, the worthless bastard thought I was going to plug him when I mentioned, you know, David Lane and David Catcher Lane and Lewis Beam, and he ran out of my trailer house. So I met Linder, and what happens? He had a little bit. There was this little big Swiss guy, dark Swiss guy, and you know, pretty well I ran out of battery powered for my VCR. You know, it was a VCR. It was one of them old you know video cameras with a VCR tape, and I ran out of battery power, and I pretty well taped the rally. You know, and all the craziness that was around it. And I don't recommend rallies for anybody. And you know, I only went up there to see Butler. I brought Roxy with me. And, you know, pretty well I went up there to see Butler. And I did see Butler. I did, you know, meet Rick Spring. I met one or two people that I recognized from, you know, being deep with, you know, Christian Identity. But in any case, Linder was going ahead, and this guy from the European, you know, documentary was interviewing Linder. And here was, you know, Billy Roper's right-hand man, Ben Vineyard, and me. And
I think I remember all that. I remember people talking about it.
Yeah, well, what happens is that here he was, and, you know, see, Corn Cob, he showed up with one of them little bitty, you know, itty-bitty little video cameras, and he went ahead, he took his little picture, but it didn't have any sound, and essentially, it made Linder look like a superhero, and old Corn Cob was in seventh heaven here. He learned how to go ahead and do video edits here. You know, me, all I did was just simply, you know, cut it to, you know, an MP3 file. And, you know, one of these days, I'm going to go ahead and get cut to, you know, YouTube here and let people see what actually happened. And Linder, he'd go ahead and he wrote about seven pages, you know, seven double-sided pages. And then he screamed, apropos of nothing, about Jews here. And, you know, his speech didn't make a bit of freaking sense. You know, I mean, it looked like he was, you know, high on his own adrenaline. But afterwards, he talked to this little dark Swiss guy, and me and Ben Vineyard were looking on here. And essentially, somehow, Linder will say, well, I'm, you know, I mean, you know, Linder's there from, you know, there's from Switzerland, too, here. You know, and somehow he got the idea this little dark guy was a Jew. He said, so are you a Jew? And the little dark guy, the little dark Swiss guy said, yeah, yeah. Well, I knew, and I think Ben Vineyard knew. I mean, so I was stationed for 19 months in a nuclear missile battalion, you know, in Germany in the Army, and I knew that the Germans, what they do is say, yeah, yeah, in order to say yes, yes. And what happens is that Linder, you know, Linder, he didn't know that. He just went ahead and he looked all scared here, like this little guy, two-thirds his size, was going to go ahead and kill Linder, you know, even though he had a, I mean, Linder, you know, Linder's just a total cowardly pussy. And what happens, it wasn't me. I was enjoying it. I thought it was hilarious here. Yeah, you know, look at old big old wind, you know, relatively big wind is scared this little dark Swiss guy here, you know, who's inoffensive. He's scared shitless of this little dark Swiss guy. And it's Ben Vineyard says, you're not really saying you are a Jew, are you? Kind of Jew, which meant, you know, not, you know, kind of meant not a, you know, kind, not a Jew, not a Jew. And then Linder, he, you know, he was so relieved. And what happens is that, you know, all these people talk about what a great speech writer, you know, what a great speech maker, and, you know, what a great warrior Linder is. I mean, I got to laugh my head off, you know.
Well, he started attacking me, and he just kind of whacked me out of the blue one time. And, I mean, we've spoke since, you know. I mean, we hadn't, like, stayed on bad terms, like we ever really were on bad terms, but it was the kind of thing where, I don't know. I've got some theories on what he's got against me, but I'm not real sure. But he's like,
well,
I don't know.
Linder don't like anybody smarter, you know, bigger, meaner than him. And well, what happens is Linder don't like me because I've been ragging on Trader Glenn Miller since, you know, after he ran out of my trailer house. Well, I knew he was a worthless bastard. I went ahead and convinced. Oh, Lewis Beam, you know, Catcher Lane was a harder sell for me to go ahead and pretend to be his buddy. And meanwhile, every time he'd go ahead, you know, yeah, put your stuff on the internet here, I went ahead and I put the first three chapters, you know, until where he ran out of his comrades in Greensboro, North Carolina. And essentially I said, shoot, you know, that worthless bastard should have been, you know, the guy should have been stopped when he ran out of these people, you know, fellow Klansmen and Nazis, you know, in Greensboro. And pretty well.
Well, he talks about it every now and again. And,
well, he goes ahead and he admits that he ran out. He was a coward at Greensboro. He ran out on people. He admits
that.
His own little. Well, he admits that.
I know about Glenn Miller, but I never really call a real good connection of where he came in with the whole the Greensboro. Well, did you know Virgil Griffin, speaking of Greensboro?
No, I never knew Virgil Griffin. So, you know, I mean, what happens, Greensboro was, you know, before my time. I was just, you know, I was just really a teenager then. You know what I mean? I was 19, 20 years old? I mean,
oh, yeah. Well, Virgil just passed away probably, gosh, I guess it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago, somewhere along in there. You know, he had bad health. He really did. He had bad health his whole life. And if you ever saw pictures.
He survived Greensboro.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he told me once, or me and a couple people, that he was supposed to die at birth. I mean, they weren't expecting him to make it for a week. And he got that far. And, you know, he carried around an oxygen tank when he spoke and took a nitroglycerin pill right before he went to make speeches. And I tell you, man, I was at some rally one time where he was at, and he was speaking, and the microphone went dead. And nobody noticed the microphone had gone dead until the next guy came on and realized the mic had gone out. I thought that was kind of funny that old man could get up that much wind power, but he was something. I mean, like Christian Identity, man. I mean, you guys would have got along great.
Well, the thing about it is before my time, but what happens is that, you know, he went, and all these people were trying to let him get back in. He was trying to get into the Reform Party, you know, way back in 2000 when I was running, you know, for United States Senator, and I got denounced by Pat Buchanan for racism, you know, and, you know, Pat Buchanan is just a little cock-teasing, a little Catholic whore. I mean, essentially I got denounced, you know. I mean, here I was supposedly being a Buchananite, you know, and Buchanan, well, he won in Missouri, so therefore he should be the presidential nominee, and essentially, you end up having all these little pro-bots and the Buchananites that ganged up on me, and they whined like a pussy, and I got denounced for racism. And it was sometime when I was running for governor, he went, you know, Trader Glenn Miller. What he did is he went ahead and showed up at this restaurant, which was a cheap family restaurant, and he offered to go ahead and buy us lunch here. We'd already paid for it. And, you know, that's not really normal behavior. And, you know, you don't really trust somebody who goes ahead and don't act normally. I mean, I'm fighting with all these little tards and trying to get in Christian Identity, and these people don't have a freaking clue on how to behave at all. They just end up acting like, you know, I mean, they just acting like yardbirds come, and they don't know how to behave at all. And, you know, I mean, you can't tell them how to behave. They just don't understand how to behave. And that wasn't, you know, that wasn't normal. But anyway, he agreed to go ahead and meet me over at my office, you know, at the foot of the hill, you know, which was supposedly owned, you know, half owned by me, but it's for my mother. And I had an office down there, and I just bought a brand new $400 E-Machines computer with a monitor, and it was a pretty good deal. And I said, you know, he was going ahead and gabbling on about his book here, and he gave me a copy of his book, gave me a copy of his videotape, and all about what a great hero he was and all this sort of thing. And I was saying, well, yeah, you really need to get on here. No, I'm not interested in the internet. I'm not interested in the internet. And then I said, well, I go ahead and I talk to people like Louis Beeman Catcher Lane all the time. And he got sort of green. And he just went, I was the federal witness protection program, but nobody went to jail. You know, I served 3 years in federal penitentiary, but nobody went to jail as a result of my testimony. Same sort of crap he goes ahead and says, and he ran out the door. And this was weird. So I went ahead and I put, you know, aside the book, videotape, and I went after him, and he was looking a whole lot better. Well, anyway, he came up with this crap about how the stench of shit and urine was really bad, and then I had to tell a story about how essentially I piss into a, you know, these plastic jugs, and I pour it on my asparagus patch here, and it makes my asparagus patch grow real good. And You know, I mean, if there had been any smell of piss, it would have been stronger outdoors where usually I store the jugs except the one I'm using at the time. And everybody was laughing their heads off here, and I had a number of, you know, little pictures from these little VNNF tards here with me and, you know, Roxy and glasses of urine. And, you know, they had a fun time, but What ended up happening is that, you know, I was pretending to be his friend, and, you know, Louis Beam agreed I was going to be his friend. I was going to put stuff out on the internet. And essentially, I got disgusted after book number three, where, you know, chapter number three, where he said he was a coward. He ran out on Greensboro. And I didn't go any further with that, but I did put it up on my webpage. Well, anyway, what happens, you have these reporters, you talk about what a big hero and what a big racist hero is, and the reporters would call, and I said, well, yes, but the problem you got to understand is that Glenn Miller is a traitor and a snitch here, and everybody's mad at him because he ran him out, and, you know, and he went ahead, and he was caught dead drunk and pissing himself in Ozark, and essentially, he'd be talking about what a big hero he is, and I'd be talking about what a drunk and cowardly rat he was, and essentially, they go ahead and print that, and you know, old Glenn Miller, he never did figure out who was going ahead and telling him the other side of the story. But since he didn't have a computer,
well, you know, the thing is about that kind of stuff is, I think some people start off with their heart in the right place, but there's that fight or flight thing, and I think a lot of people, there's several kinds. I think there's a kind that doesn't know to the fight or flight, to the flight part or the fight part, but they get involved. They take off, and they go, you know what, I'm not a fighter, so be it, you know, that's cool, let fighters be the fighters. And then you got the guys who run away, and yet they come back and go, oh, yeah, I'm a fighter, I showed up, that's good enough, right?
Yeah, and, you know, the problem of it is that generally all these people who went ahead and snitched people out at Fort Smith, they had at least the decency to be somewhat ashamed of themselves, not Glenn Miller. You know, second of all, I don't know if you've ever been in the Army here, but in the 70s, even the 70s, the Army had a Ku Klux Klan problem with all these South White Peckerwoods, you know, joined the Klan. And the Army's always had a freaking Klan problem. And I think that Traitor Glenn Miller essentially was a snitch even before he went ahead and got into the movement. And I think he's been a snitch all his life. But, you know, I mean, if he at least had decency to, you know, to hang his head and admit that he's just a drunken rat and a coward. But when I seen him, he was still running around trying to go ahead and get into the Reform Party in 2000 and then 2001. And even as late as 2008, he was trying to suck up to the Ron Paul people. Him and, well, who's left? You know, I'll admit that when I was in the Nut House, you know, and I heard that his last white and semi-white issue here was killed, that was one of the better days here, you know, of my life here. I mean, I hate the bastard. And
He had a son that got in a car accident, shot somebody or something.
Well, yeah. No, what he did is that his screwball son went ahead and killed a good Samaritan.
Did it ever come out about? I mean, did he have any reasoning behind that, or I mean, I never really.
He's just a cowardly, you know, I mean, he's Traitor Glenn Miller's son. The only son he got left is a faggot here, you know, and he has some Anglo Mestizo's daughters, and I'm suing the bastard right now because of what he did in 2006. I'm convinced that he deliberately went ahead and ran in order to go ahead and lose and screwed the, you know, thing up here. I mean, I went up to Jefferson City to file for Republican, and they wouldn't let me run as a Republican thanks to Traitor Glenn Miller. And then I filed as a Libertarian for the United States Senator, and then they kicked me off the ballot. And that's one of my basis for my lawsuits against Obongo. And pretty well what I'm trying to do is that, you know, Traitor Glenn Miller is defendant, and I'm trying to have that worthless piece of shit testify that he was deliberately plotting to go ahead and destroy the rights of the white man to go ahead and openly run for government, for office in Missouri. You see,
that's
back
the only way anything's ever going to get done is in a courtroom. And, you know, that's the one thing, I'm not trying to say anything good about Richard Barrett, because, I mean, you know, hey, you know, let's call a duck here, but at least I will say the fact that he did go to court a lot, and, you know, I think he might have been on the right track there, but, you know, heck, you know, a broke watch is right twice a day, too, so, you know.
Well, he went ahead and sued Jim Giles. I don't know if you listened to it. Me and Jim Giles had a little run-in on July 3rd here. Essentially, I had Jim Giles screaming at me here. You know, pretty well, I was tired of Jim Giles.
I don't really know Jim. I've listened to his show once or twice, and I thought it was all right. You know, I don't know much about him. I mean,
Well, I pretty well knew about him. I ended up getting an interview, but, you know, essentially, I got tired of him ragging on Edgar Steele here. Now, me and Edgar Steele, we've had our differences, and, you know, I've called him the Wigger Whimperer, and he calls himself attorney for the damned, and I call him attorney for the fuck, because I said, shit, you know, all your clients, if they have you for a lawyer, Edgar, you Wigger Whimperer, why, they're fucked. You know, but essentially I got tired of him trying to go ahead and prove that Edgar Steele was guilty because he was mad at Edgar Steele. And I had him screaming that Edgar Steele mouth, I could snap Edgar Steele's neck. And then I went ahead and said, well, some people say you're a federal informant. And then I had him screaming at me for about 10, 12 minutes. Oh, it was a classic chimp out. And, you know, what happens is that, you know, I mean, you know, in pretty well I've had this show, and mainly, you know, it's pretty well just a gossip show. It's called The Movement Turd. And how did you find out about it anyway?
I was skimming around. There's, you know, I Google my name every now and again, and one thing led to another, and I just kind of followed the trail, and I said, oh, here goes a radio show on. Here I am. So
well,
I tuned in about the time you started talking about Bloody Bill Anderson, and I said, oh, wow, okay, well, this is an educated man talking here. So I thought I'd give a call and say how
well,
I'm going. And
I used to be known as a freaking maniac, and I still am, and a lender. What happens is that when Trader Glenn Miller came on in 2004, you know, he wanted to tell his side of the story. And pretty well, what happened is I was saying, I'm trying to get old Trader Glenn Miller to run for United States Senator while I run for governor. And, you know, he's a worthless piece of treasonous, cowardly shit. But he has money here, probably from the order or from his handlers, and we need to have a racist. And let's have Trader Glenn Miller run. You know, and what happens is somebody ratted me out. I think it's either Whigger Swill Williams or it's Ron Doggett. You know, one of the two ratted me out. I'm pretty sure it was one of them two. And Trader Glenn Miller, he called me, you know, the second Thursday at 7 o'clock when I was watching Survivor and said, look, motherfucker here, you insulted my manhood. And I said, ah, you're a rat. You don't have any manhood. If you want, I'll come over some night and remove what little you got. So he lives 40 miles east of me in Marionville. Missouri. And, you know, look at my fucking. I said, look, you look, dumbass, you called me. What the hell do you want? Well, don't ever call me again. I said, well,
yeah,
after tonight, I don't think that's going to be a problem. You have anything else? We'll move. Okay, well, then, you know, insulted my manhood. Well, you know, look, you don't have manhood. You're a rat. And, you know, the thing about it is that, shoot, he got in with Linder, and Linder has never been able to go ahead and pay for stuff his own here. I mean, Pierce went ahead and rescued him as a little lying, little Guido, journalism student. I mean, they lie, like, you know, some of them lie and then they're cast aside, and Pierce went ahead and reconditioned them. And the golden age of VNN was before they ended up getting that forum. And then Pierce died. You know, I mean, Pierce paid a little, you know, Linder a little bit of stipend, and everybody laughed about him living in Granny's basement. But
My phone's about to die, Chief. It's beeping in my ear here, and
yeah.
So I got to kind of wrap it up. But it's been great talking to you. You know,
well, maybe you can call in. I mean, the Movement Turd is usually at 10 o'clock Central Time. I've had a Fidel Castro too before. I mean, they've called me the Fidel Castro of Christian identity because I've had some three, and I've had, you know, mostly 3 hour. I've had some 4 hour. I've had some 5 hour, and I've had a 5 hour and 47 minute, talk to you program.
You want to talk about the Civil War and stuff like that and, you know, genetics and, you know, I mean, golly, it looks
tough. Usually I talk about the movement, but one of the things I'm saying is that things are going to fall apart, and it's not going to be, you know, I mean, what I've seen over the years is you end up having all these people who are, the Jews got us down, the Jews got us down, and what happens, we're all going to be in a death camp, you know, and you're a maniac, and somehow, what happens? You're going to get 150 million with no workers in a camp here. We're all going to die. You know what I'm saying? You dumb shit.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you
well,
dumb
I,
shit.
I don't pay a whole lot of attention to that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, I mean, it's. I took it very, very seriously for some time, and I guess I really. I'm having a hard time taking it seriously now, I'll be honest with you. And it's been that way for a couple of years, but. You know, at the same time, when I can find anybody that'll, you know, have a good conversation with me and talk about intelligent topics, man, I certainly welcome it. So,
Well, anyway, I was glad you could be in there. I mean, you used to be known as quite the atheist, didn't you?
No. I've always been an Odinist. I mean, I don't know where to. I got confused with some creator for the longest time with my same last name. And we've always been two different people. I've never had any affiliations with Church Creator. I've got nothing against them, but
okay,
that might be where that somebody comes in. But I mean,
Jelly Christian Identity and Creators don't get along very well. I used to know David Lane through his wife Katchen. She was trying to get me to become a Wodenist priest, and I said, look, I mean, Woden was a god king. He lived around, what, 175 to 200 AD. And
well, as the mythos goes, he's come and gone different times, and, you know.
Well, I mean, I did an unfinished novel about, you know, the very first Anglo-Saxons, and he was pretty well on the king's list of the Angles and the Saxons and not the Vandals, but the Goths and the Danes.
Well, you had a lot of people back, the Saxons, different ones claiming to be part of the bloodline of Odin, and some of that might come. Just real quick, if you ever get in the mood for some good literature that kind of runs into both angles, the Christian angle and the Odinist angle, it's called The Saxon Stories by Bernard Cornwell or Cornwell.
Oh yeah, I've read some of Saxon Stories. The thing about it is that in many cases he goes ahead and he follows it. But then he goes ahead and he changes the actual history. The actual history of Hengist and Horsa was actually a very, very, very interesting story in real life, because Hengist was mentioned in Beowulf in the fragment, and he ended up being banished for 5 years because he got into a little bit of a scrape, in the Finnsburg fragment. And pretty well, I mean, if you ever go to my forum at whitenationalist.org, / Lindstedt, my forum is whitenationalist.org/forum. But you can maybe go ahead and look at some of the stuff here. And, some of it you may like and some of it you may not hear. But anyway, Chris,
argue schematics too much with people. I mean, there's that little 10% that most people I'm not going to agree with on, it ain't going to cloud over to 90%. So that's the way I look at it. But, no, I'm married a Christian, so I'm certainly not, I'm not too anti-Christian, of course, so.
Okay, well.
Anyway, she drags me to church every now and again, but don't tell anybody.
But most of even your Baptist sects and your Pentecostal sects, the rest of them here, they've gotten to where they used to be racist here, but now it's love thy nigger, Jews are God's chosen people.
Well, it's the politics of the day. I mean, it's been that way through the history of all religion, really. I mean, some people cling to the politics change, and whoever's writing the biggest check to the church or the temple or whatever.
It works out a way here. It's just, well, as Christian Identity do believe that we are.
It's not confined. That sort of practice isn't confined to Christianity. I mean, that's been going on since pagan times. I mean, different things. The gods would, supposedly say different things to different people according to the will of the king. I mean, nobody's innocent when it comes to that. And these guys all of a sudden becoming social Marxists, God changing his mind in the 1960s on his creation. What I'm saying? I mean, there's those of us sitting back and questioning that sort of thing. I know that, there's a big, huge, huge gap between your social Marxist Christian and your Christian identity Christian. And, I got an interest in Christian identity. It's very fascinating.
Well, it pretty well says that, whether you believe it or not, what I'm trying to do is get a number of these warlords or something like that when things fall apart. You end up having, like Robert Friends. I thought he had the best white nationalist page. I don't know if you ever remember Robert Friends and Eric Thompson, on First Amendment Exercise Machine. And they point out that only 1 in 20 white men have really any real leadership potential. And no, what I'm, and most of the leaders, why they're, pretty well they're bought off, because if you have some leadership potential, I mean, you end up having something that is rare and is usually well paid for, as long as you confine it to socially acceptable things here. But I sort of think that you're going to end up having a bunch of these people, and, you know, things are falling apart, and they're not very good. I mean, here on, you know, here in the economic realm, essentially, all you have all these banks trying to go ahead and steal these houses that where they wrote worthless mortgages, and they don't even have the, you know, the necessary documentation. And when it comes down to it, all these pension funds and the rest are going to go back to the bank, and you have another balloon that's just about ready to bust again. And, you know, sometimes the question I have is whether things are going to go ahead and fall apart, you know, keep apart for another, what, 3 weeks until the federal selections come along. And things are not looking good here. I mean, you know, the thing that, you know, struck me after being locked up in a nut house in jail for 3.5 years wasn't the fact that the, you know, that the so-called normals were so much smarter than the nuts, but rather the fact of how high the prices had gotten, you know, since I'd been locked up in the nut house. And that was the biggest surprise of all. And things are not going very good in Zogland. And things will go ahead and fall apart, I'm pretty convinced about it. Anyway, Chris, I guess he went ahead and, you know, headed out here. Anyway, well, you can go ahead and call back. I'm going to go ahead and, his phone died here. Okay. Well, anyway, pretty well I had a great conversation. Why don't you go ahead and call in some other time, and maybe one of these days we can go ahead and have an interview with you here on the Movement Third here. We can have a special show or something. This thing doesn't cost me anything, and usually I'll go ahead and talk a long time, and well, I've been talking for 3 hours now. Any case, old Hattie had his free time here, and heaven help him here. I mean, Hattie at least is, you know, he has some loyalty, and you gotta respect that here. You know, even though I don't respect, all this, the great Kool-Aid and all the rest of the stuff here. So let me see. I'm trying to go ahead and cover. I'm gonna go ahead and save. That I think I went in and covered pretty well what was happening at Fink's Big Top. Oh, let me see. Go ahead and copy all this little thing. In any case, where was I? All right. Over on Stumbling. Back in May of 2009, I went ahead and ran off, one of these little four fag thief shit dogs known as Maud. I call him Maud the Fraud Flanders. And I'm pretty well convinced that old Maud the Fraud Flanders was a Jew. Now, in the case of four fag thieves, pretty much the way they've gone ahead and acted, the way they've gone ahead and been, is that I'm pretty well convinced the four fag thieves end up having a whole bunch of your VNNF charged, but they're to go ahead and pretend to be white nationalists. The thing about it is that, people like Starr and people like, Kevin O'Keefe here, essentially they pretend to be white nationalists when essentially in many cases they're really not anymore. I end up getting a bunch of neg rep points from old Kevin. Essentially, he went ahead and he took pretty well what is really the seed corn. I mean, young activists here, young racist activists, essentially he'd go ahead, he'd bully them. Just like a big, fat pig wop. I'm sort of reminded of gangs in New York, to where you end up having this one pig who was, who was a member of Pre-Stallion's gang here, and then he becomes an Irish pig, and essentially he's stealing in behalf and give his share to Bill the Butcher. But essentially what he's doing is he's living like a parasite off his own people. And that's what Kevin O'Keefe sort of reminds me of. And he shouldn't, what happens is that, these people should not claim to be Christian identity. Now, old Star, she's sort of like the Ellen Goodmanser. and she's playing it, being Chris Sandandy, and she ends up going ahead and having post after post after post after post. And one of my spies on VNNF here remarked that Four Facts Thieves was really VNNF version 2.0. And he didn't want to join StumbleIn because he thought that it was Four Facts Thieves version 2.0 / VNNF version 3.0. Where nothing is really discussed and you end up having a bunch of censorship. And that's what you end up having on Four Facts Thieves. Now, of all places, which where it should be headquartered, the last place it should be headquartered is in Brussels, Belgium, the head of the European zone. How does anybody go ahead and run a supposedly white national site just a block or so away from the European hate crimes task force or something like that and get away with it? For example, over on Argue With Anything, for the first time ever, I have gotten 4 infraction points. 1 for going ahead and using the word nigger, in my signature line, and 3 for advertising the movement turd where I go ahead and use the word nigger and Jew. Now, that didn't used to happen here, but essentially I'm sort of restricted from posting at Argue With Everyone. Well, folks, it used to be that you could argue with niggers and you could argue with Jews, and if they didn't like it, well, tough shit. But guess what? You end up having this hate crime shit. Well, that's what I pretty well say. Star is a quarter of a mile. He has an eighth of a mile. He used to call her Hitler Hoggus here, But actually, she's not that fat here, right? She pretend to be fat. Just like old Pixie the Trixie, John Britton used to call her Pixie, P-I-C-T-S-H-E here. I mean, Pixie, Canaanites, or Tubal Canaanites, or whatever here. So I used to call her Pixie. I used to call her the quarter tenor says cheese. Because she used to say she was fat, and then she was Vargina, the Linda Miller Meerkat's girlfriend here. I guess old Vargina, he no longer has any pussy here, but all he has is a little paw here, and he's pretty well Linder, the gut sick weed of weasels with QF cancers, head meerkat / colostomy bag liquor. But what she's done is she has post after post after post, thousands and thousands of posts. And what she does is that she's gone ahead and censored my little remarks about Susan. And essentially, Susan was just a stuck-up cunt here who was just looking after herself. And pretty well, what I've gone ahead and said is that old Star, she's what, 35, 36, 37. I just say that she's a quarter mile out of Cougar Town. She's going to be in Cougar Town for a little while. Then she's going to go ahead and go out to the pilot, to work with her mother, Susan. And then Susan will go ahead and go to the nursing home, where old Star will go ahead and bring her a cucumber zucchini, for her needs. But in any case, these people, they're not really white nationalists, but they pretend to be white nationalists. And even old Jake, his name is Jake Featherstone here, and he's pretending to be a racist character who kills all the niggers, and this Harry Turtletaub, which is, Harry Turtledove, but he's actually a Jew named Turtletaub or something like that. And he has this alternate history, and usually he gets back to Nazis, 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 Nazis here, or Confederate Nazis, 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 Nazis. And they were interesting books of alternative history. But as a result, instead you have Jake Featherstone, like Hitler killing Jews, he ends up going ahead and killing as many niggers as he can. And old Jake Featherstone, he ends up being killed by a young nigger, who's running around, the territory, in Georgia. But, it is an interesting book here. But the thing about it is, here these people are, they're pretend white nationalists. And they don't have any loyalty to any of the new seed corn. Here they had Ben Cameron, who, as far as they knew, was a young Klansman, and here's old Jake Featherstone, I call him Capo or Capo, because he ends up acting like these Jews, Capo. And one of the Jews, his name was, was Carcass or Farkas or something like that, and he was going to take down Linstead until one of my little sock puppets found out he was from Argentina. He admitted that he was, you know, his family was a bunch of Argentinian Sephardic Jews. Well, Gomez is the name of the Sephardic Jew family, which went ahead and imported niggers, you know, on the slave ships. So you end up having these people, and contrary to my thought that Maud the Fraud was actually the son of a Belgian bureaucrat, I wouldn't be too surprised if old Maud the Fraud was actually running around. He was just a little son of a little Jew, little Jew rabbi. Wouldn't surprise me one bit. So here you have Fairfax Thieves, which is really a Zogfall front, pretend to be for white nationalism, but what it does is it goes ahead and destroys the seed corps. And here it is, in the problem, in the case of the problem with Stumbling, you end up having, you know, Zed, who loved Ixabert, and by the way, Ixabert is back on Fairfax Thieves, and if you go ahead and believe the Fairfax Thieves is just a Sephardic Jew data mining outfit, it makes plenty of sense that you end up having a nasty little kike like Ixabert on there. But anyway, so you end up going ahead, you know, I mean, you know, I'll admit the Turtle Dove or Turtle Top went ahead and wrote some fairly interesting fiction, but I'm talking about real life. And you have these people, I mean, in the case of Ben Cameron, here he is, sticking for a big phony, a big faker, a big poser, you know, a big pussy poser, like Julian Lee. And Julian Lee pretends to be a white nationalist, but essentially what he does is say, I think he's just a big old faggot who has nothing better to do than cry like a big old baby here, just like we were talking about Sword Mamser and Matt Twat Zogbot. All these people who don't know how to behave, but who have to go ahead and pretend to be something that they're not. And that's pretty well what you end up having with Star and the rest of them. Now, we end up this guy named Mods, you know, Mods Monster. And what he did is he was a little administrator, a little super moderator, and he'd go ahead and he'd whine. And he was the main one who was bitching and pissing and moaning. How dare Linstead go ahead and drive old Mods Monster off and threaten to out him, not on Stumblin, but on his own forum. Well, the fact of the matter is that guess what? What I do on my own forum is not within Stumbling jurisdiction. But you end up having a whole bunch of people from Mutant Sperm Front come back on, like Helena, little Esther Kikis, and, you know, a whole bunch of other people whining for my blood, including Allison, you know, the, you know, worthless, you know, stupid twat here from South Africa who don't know enough to behave herself, even though she's been raped by niggers. She hasn't learned a damn thing. She's sort of like a male Apollonia. She don't do licks. She ain't willing to go ahead and learn. And neither are the rest of, you know, a lot of these tards. Anyway, old Maud went ahead and was snarling at me recently, and he's come back, and he's run back here, and over the last month or so, you've had Allison, and you've had a number of these people that I pretty well ran off with old Maud Defraud, Flanders, in May of 2009. You have them coming back, which is fine. You know, I'm not saying that they can't come back. But the fact of the matter is that when Stumbling goes ahead and becomes, I mean, the reason he had a beer barrel is that Zed was sucking up and going ass to mouth with Ixabert, regardless of all the people who were saying, guess what, you shouldn't allow a dirty Jew to pretend to be a Nazi. You know, Stumbling, you know, referendum was called the, you know, Adolf Hitler honor, you know, and Nazi Germany Honor Restoration Act. And pretty well by a vote of about 23 or 20, you know, 21 to 2. And, you know, it might have been 3, but 2 of them were Ixabert sock puppets. Essentially, they went ahead and ruled is that dirty Jews cannot pretend to be Adolf Hitler or anybody else. We don't really mind having one Ixabert sock puppet named Arnoldus, but guess what? You cannot have a whole bunch of them pretend to be Heinrich Himmler or anything like that here. And essentially, Zed would not go ahead and listen to that. He wouldn't go ahead and allow everybody to stick nigger, you know, Ixabert Himmler. And as a result, people got tired of it, and they all moved, and pretty well four of them got together and ponied up $100 apiece, and they formed their own new V-Bulletin forum called the Beer Barrel. Here comes Maud the Fraud, and Maud the Fraud is snarling at me, and says that, guess what? There's too many people who are dual feed line, thanks to you. You get to do whatever you want, Martin, in your own sub forum. And what happens is that, well, you have too much rights. You have too much things here. Well, guess what, Mons Monster or Mamser? I'm not answerable to you. I've done far more for Stumble than you ever had. And don't give me this crap about how a technical director is needed. I run my own vBulletin forum. And the best thing to do is not add a whole bunch of, you know, stupid shit, but actually go ahead and choose a default color scheme, or better yet, let the browser go ahead and choose whether he wants to see it in red or blue or whatever color. I have one sock puppet who sees it in red and another one who sees it in blue. Mods Mamser, his name is, you know, Jakob's Monster. I ended up calling him Mods Monster, but now I call him Mods Monster / Mamser. And pretty well, he was whining like a pussy when I went ahead and had to rent the identity, go ahead and be a new sock puppet. He got all pissy with me and said, guess what, you're not allowed in the VIP lounge. I said, why not? I mean, I end up having, what, 2,200 posts, and unlike you people, yes, I have my own sub-forum, but the thing about it is unlike Kane, who has his own sub-forum, and like Appy, who should have his own sub-forum, and, you know, tell Appy that he's getting his own sub-forum. Don't call it Tard Corral, and then maybe Appy will sort of like it here. But essentially, have Appy have his own little Tard Corral. And the thing about it is that if you guys want to call Listedania at Tard Corral, that's fine by me. Essentially, I end up bringing a lot of traffic to Stumblin, and that was the reason I was going ahead and giving my own sub-forum. So whatever I do in my sub-forum is pretty well my business. And whether you like it or not, it doesn't really matter. Well, what happens, he was stalling at me. He went ahead and kicked me off the chat box after he went ahead and, you know, come up with the Realme identity. And I got Breck to go ahead and put me back on the chat box. And he would not go ahead and, well, you have the same limit here. I said, I'd like to have 200. Well, guess what? The new Relton identity stock puppet had 200. So I figured Maud lied to me. But essentially, Maud does not like me. Maud is snarling like a Jew, you know, like a Jew rat, and he doesn't like me one damn bit. Well, that's fine. I don't really much care for Maud. I consider him a liar, you know, and he's probably a little Catholic, but just like all these other rest of them here, they sort of think the white man has to do whatever the hell they want. Whatever the hell they want. And, you know, essentially, you know, John Britton was going ahead and looking, and he pretty well said, well, John Britton, you know, if he wants to go ahead and be kicked off here, why, it don't really matter. Well, guess what? The other night, he's just gone ahead and we fought with, you know, over at Bill Fink's, you know, with his tards over at his tard corral of the sewage. And pretty well they did exactly what I said. It's like, look, why don't you go ahead and take all these threads, because you're not going to look good on them. Just go ahead and flush them down to a cesspool. And that's exactly what the hell he did. But, you know, getting off onto Stumblin. What happens is Mods Monster goes ahead and he abuses his power. And he did the same thing with old Junestain. Now, I'm not going to argue on behalf of any Jew. Certainly not Junestain. But the thing about it is there is such a thing as rule of law. And the thing about it is that going ahead and favoring one Jew like, you know, fucked up Kane, and another one, you know, who is a somewhat nasty Jew like Junestain, but not as nasty as Ixenberg, that's not exactly right. But what it is that you're doing it for nothing other than your own little political game. And what was the offense? Putting a beer barrel, you know, putting a beer barrel thing on your signature line. Since when is there a law against going ahead and putting a beer barrel logo? I have, on some of my forums, I end up having a signature line where I go ahead and advertise my web pages and my forums. What is wrong with doing that? In every single signature, I usually go ahead and put a signature line to my form. What is wrong with doing that? There was no law against it. But you end up having Mods Monster essentially doing exactly what the hell he wants to, and essentially he's going to bring back a golden age, you know, to Stumblin. No, he's not. Bringing back censorship, you know, but on top of some little tard who has never really created anything. Look, Mods Monster, I don't mind. You have your own little tard corral. If you can go ahead and write something that is worth paying attention to, fine. Go ahead and do that. By all means, go ahead and do that. essentially what you do is by going ahead and showing them that you hate the Christian Identity people here and you think they have too much power and that you are the one to go ahead and determine it under the guise of us needing a technical director, which we don't. We got along just fine here before you showed back up. I mean, essentially what you're doing is you're turning this place into a dead zone. Because the forum goes ahead and lives and prospers, and people are talking about the golden age of DNNF here. And I don't, you know, I think the golden age was before they ended up having, you know, the little mod dick machine on V Bulletin. That was, you know, before they had the, before they had people writing, you know, who William Pearson said, that was the golden age of DNN, you know. And I don't think there was a golden age of Sperm Front or DNNF here. But when you go ahead, you censor people. Essentially, you go ahead and prove that you cannot do anything. Now, in the case of Four Facts Thieves, the reason they do it, I think it is a malevolent outcome. And I think it's heading on stumbling to a malevolent outcome as well, to where you end up having the Four Facts Thieves shitting dogs treating stumbling as it's just nothing more than just a latrine and just a potty chair to go ahead and shit in. And Zed don't have any more sense other than go ahead and do that crap because he likes Hixenberg. But guess what? Breck has seemingly gotten tired. Now, the other day, he goes ahead and he looks and he finds out, you know, because pretty well I was asking him, what, well, what's on the VIP lounge here? You're able to go ahead and see it, I'm not. He goes there and he can't find it. You know, the VIP lounge has disappeared. And I say, what the hell? You can't, you sure you can't find it? Well, no, I can't find it. So in short, what happens is we look at is there a purge of Christian Dandy people coming in, and essentially Moz Monster don't want to see it. Because what he did with the Toonstain thread, when this thing came up, is that essentially he went ahead and put it up in the VIP lounge where I couldn't comment on it. And pretty well my thread, going ahead, you know, being against the censorship, it was taken out and put in my tart corral, but it was closed. And I didn't know whether I dared go ahead and open it again. The thing about it is that, shoot, if you're going to have a forum, you need to have rule of law. And you have lost a number of your posters to the Beer Barrel and to other places because you don't have rule of law. You've gone ahead and ignored it in the case of Vixenberg. Of going ahead and sponsoring one Jew. And you got to understand that even the non-whites, their highest accolade is to be a good white man. You have people who are not white, like a Nikki who wants to be white. Well, for like Sword Mamzer, you have a bunch of these people who want to be white, and the highest accolade on stumbling used to be good white man. And what happens is that being a good white man is being a Nazi. So they do not like the fact of Jews going ahead and pretending to be super good white men just because they're dirty Jews and they want to make fun of the Nazi regime. They didn't like that. So they went ahead and formed a new, you know, new forum. Now, in my case, I went ahead, and John Britton went ahead, and I asked him, well, don't go ahead and ask to quit. Well, what happens, we should go ahead and get a number of a post here, but John Britton sort of think that his post, his old post, even before I got out of the nuthouse, from the days when Jay Bird run it, and the first days of the Breckenridge, you know, Elkins thing, have been tampered with or deleted by Maud. And the thing about it is that I can't say whether it has or not. Because Maud doesn't have any honor, he doesn't have integrity, he just essentially wants whatever the hell he wants to. He's a sort of a higher functioning Apollonian. You can't tell them anything. Can't tell them a damn thing. And pretty well, what I want is a world where people like Appy and Apollonian, you know, Appy and Maud's Monster, you know, even though they ain't Jews, they're just paper cyber niggers who think that they get to tell the white man what to do, that they're living on eggshells here because any white man can go ahead and kill them right where they stand whenever they do something unlawful, something lawless, something amoral. And essentially, if they want to go ahead and complain it, they can, just like killing a pig in, you know, in the days to come. But what happens, you go ahead and you do something unlawful, your entire family and whoever went ahead and put you upon the white man, the entire family of the policeman, the entire family of the hybrid nigger is pretty well executed right then and there. Because what happens is that unless you end up having law, then you're not going to go ahead and you're not going to have any government worth you know, living in. What we are suffering from is lack of law. We're suffering under, quote, Jew lawlessness, a new world order, and the rest of this sort of crap. And we're not, you know, we're not going to go ahead and put up this crap. Folks, I hear something about saying that, you know, people cannot go ahead and hear. You know, where were you people? Can you guys hear? Okay, it might be buffering audio or something like that. Sometimes it's not so bad with a cell phone. I usually imagine it's worse with Skype. And anyway, well, yeah. You know, the thing about it is I don't give a hard time with, you know, I mean, people who aren't exactly white here. I mean, if they want to go ahead and listen, you know, there are some people here I see, and they know that they're not quite white, but they have learned far more than most of the Uyghurs, you know, through hard introspection here. In many cases, their brains work better than, you know, an idiotic Uyghur like Matt Twat Zog Bok. But going on, what I believe in, what are we, people on drugs? You know, well, no, we're not on drugs. I don't know why. I mean, what, are you looking for drugs? You know, guest number 20? In any case, where am I? You know, where am I at? All right, I'm hearing them, you know, being heard, you know, just fine. The thing about it is that, you know, I think the problem is that Breck has gotten tired, and Zed has just simply gotten goofy. And I don't know about gotten goofy. I think he is goofy here. You know, essentially, he doesn't really care what ends up happening, you know, to the forum. Well, the post. But anyway, I talked to John Britton, and this morning, this afternoon, he went ahead and read this, you know, thing called Anabasis. And way back around, you know, around 300 something BC, he ended up having these Greek mercenaries, and they got involved in a war between the pretenders, and their side ended up losing. You know, they won the victory, but they lost the war because their claimant to the throne of Persia ended up dying. So here they were, 10,000, cut off from home, cut off from food, and they had to go ahead and make their way back through hostile territory. Now, essentially, the scholar and soldier Xenophon, who was one of Socrates' gifted students, the one who actually had a sense of decency, unlike Alcibiades, went ahead and wrote called the Anabasis. Essentially, it was the March of the 10,000 through hostile territory and how they managed to go ahead with discipline and intelligence, managed to go ahead and fight their way home. And you know, what happens is that if you end up watching the Star Trek Voyager, it's pretty well the second, you know, thought here. It's been a tale of the classics because it was a simple story taught in excellent Greek. And many people went ahead and learned Greek, you know, from the story of the Anabasis. And folks, I mean, we end up, you know, as white people end up having much the same thing. We are in our own land, and essentially we are surrounded and we are cut off. And the only thing that's going to go ahead and save us is whether or not we end up having our natural neo-aristocracy go ahead and lead us, you know, by means of ruthlessness, by means of harshness here, to go ahead and save our lives here. And what happens is you end up having people like Appy and Mods Monster who just simply are inherently lawless. They don't have any understanding of anything other than themselves and what they want. And the only way you can't teach them anything, all you can do is make them afraid. Make them afraid of doing anything. And someone like that, in many cases, is congenital. Congenital barbarians who supposedly act like they're civilized men, but they're not. Because they don't know how to act. They don't know how to go ahead and, you know, feel. You know, in many cases, call them mods, mamser, because, you know, perhaps it's very likely that the law of Yahweh is not written on his heart, and that's why the heck he acts that way. But folks, I don't have much use for capos, you know, be it, you know, I mean, you know, Kevin, you know, he did sort of stick by me here. As far as I'm concerned, we're quits. We're even. And the thing about it is that what I don't really want to see is stumble in and just be nothing more than a cast-off shithole or colony of four-fag thieves, which is what a lot of these people who come over there, I call four-fag thieves shitting dogs, be it Mikey Kaiki. And what happens is Mikey Kaiki, Juice Cow Cat Connor, voice of retards, who went ahead and started the shit. Then Maud the Fraud went ahead and thought he'd be his little defense lawyer. He didn't like what I ended up having to say about him or Maud the Fraud. And then he went ahead and he started some shit, and I finished it. What I finished it is that, hey, little Maud the Fraud sort of thinks that he has the right to go ahead and rule and judge white people and live like a judicial parasite on top of them here. He probably is a Jew. Probably is a nasty little Jew boy. Well, look, Jew, you don't get to rule over white men. In fact, you don't get to live among white men. Because you don't know how to act. Well, you do know how to act, but you act evil. And you can't go ahead and change it because you're the spawn of Satan. That's what I like about Dual Seed Line Christian Dandy. It's actually a very beautiful, but it's a rather austere religion. And pretty well, you know, when you're a true believer, you know exactly where things stand. And there ain't very many shades of gray. Either you're black or there's white. You're either on Yahweh's side or you're not. So that's why I like my racial religion. But folks, I mean, Maud, you know, Maud is essentially, what I see is I see people just, you know, you're not going to go ahead and post an awful lot of stuff or you're going to go ahead and lose those posts. Anyway, I told John Britton to not do like I seen over on, you know, the Moults and Gullets. Not go ahead and have his name taken off, because even when you're banned, you can go ahead and sort of save. You can go ahead and save, you know, a bulletin forum post. It's far more difficult when you're just a guest here whose posts are not even listed hardly. You can't be archived. You can't be anything like that. They may be there. Maybe Moz Monster didn't go ahead and store them. So I went ahead and asked, you know, John, you know, to go ahead and ask, you know, to be have his account restored. And I don't think it was even taken away, because Breck really does care about Stumbling. He really does care. And what he needs to do is he needs to go ahead and essentially, look, you will not pass. You will not go ahead and run, you know, turn Stumbling into a burnt out place for four fag thieves shitting dogs to, you know, to go ahead and shit. Now, I don't mind Neil Ragno, because at least Neil Ragno brings something to the table. But characters like Star, old Jake Featherstone, the rest here, essentially what happens is you're a guest there. And you don't tell us what to do. And you don't act like you get to tell us what to do. You're a guest. You're still a four-fag, feed-shitting dog, but you better not freaking hunker outside the alley or someplace where four-fag, feed-shitting dogs can go ahead and shit. But if they go ahead and cause trouble, they can go ahead and be, you know, reacted to. Well, I can believe it. I mean, look, guest number 24. I end up having a thing. You can go ahead and believe that to the American National Socialist Party, you can believe it, because guess what? You know, I mean, what are you going to believe? You know, the Molten the Gulps, or you going to believe your own lying eyes? I believe your own lying eyes, folks. You know, the Molten and Gulps, you know, they're not, you know, the Molten and Gulps, they're not very honest here. Believe your own lying eyes, folks. Okay. Well, it looks like I ended up having, you know, get kicked off again. So I'm going to go ahead and log back on to TalkShoe. Folks, believe your own lying eyes. Your own lying eyes, you know, tell you what the truth is. And yes, you believe your eyes. And, you know, the Moats and Gulps changed it to the American National Socialist Party or something like that. Now, maybe tomorrow, It'll be the American White Nationalist Socialist, Bolshevik People's Party. You don't know. I mean, thing about it is, with the Mullets and Gullets, all it is what old Paul Mullet wants here. And I sort of get the feeling that pretty well old Gullet is going to go ahead and go back to where he should have been. He shouldn't have been, pretty well me and John Britton didn't save Gullet's church so he could go ahead and be part of an FPLC, ADL, false front under a criminal like Paul Mullet. So what happens is that once he got rid of Arion Warhog, Liar Bill, get rid of that bastard. Get rid of Bradley Jenkins. Essentially, run your own church by yourself, Gullet. That's pretty well what I want him to do. That's what me and John Britton want him to do. Hold on, folks. Let me go ahead and log in. Alright, looks like I logged in, folks. Hold on a second. Let's go ahead and save and figure out how much I lost. Quite a little too much. I only lost about 10 minutes. Chat. In any case, it looks like, pretty well people are, tired, and it is around what? I've been talking for what? 4 hours. I think I pretty well covered it. Well, at least I think I have. In the case of Judas Giles, well, Gullet took a plea bargain, so yes, probably his ass does belong to, Zog here. What happens to the National Socialist Movement? Pretty well, Molten Gullet were all biggie with the old Shoop here, and essentially, old Shoop got found where he married a non-white wife who had a niglet kid, and essentially, all this stuff here, they end up going ahead and being found by their own stupid crookedness. And if you go ahead and you're found by your own stupid crookedness, essentially, it's because you're a crook. Now, in the case, let me see. In the case of the Pisser Possum, as far as I know, he didn't show up on 10-10-10. And essentially, there's a lot of people probably pissed off that he went ahead and deleted all the work. In the case of Jim Giles, he's back to broadcasting, about every morning or every other morning, and there's not much to be said about him. He's just a shade of what he used to be. But folks, the thing about stumbling is that there doesn't need to be a thing here. You got to understand that Maud's Monster or Maud's Mamster is just an evil little control freak. He doesn't produce anything, and he's not really necessary. We didn't need a technical director. All this, quote, technical director did was to go ahead and ban people without any rule of law. Now, folks, I would be the technical director. I'd just assume not here. And to be honest with you, I've gone ahead and set up an archive. And folks, if you want to go ahead and save your post of Stumble In, as opposed to Beer Barrel, go ahead and log in, send email to pastorlinson@gmail.com, and I'll find you an archive site. And it'll probably end up being a Jewag. Because, when I run a Christian Identity Forum, I want to be at Remain Christian Identity Forum. I don't really want to go ahead and be responsible for running a place like Beer Barrel or Stumble In. I wouldn't mind having a minority directorship to make sure that the interests of the Christian Identity people, and there's a number of them that stumble in, who are attracted there, that their interests are represented. And I think that one thing that needs to be done is that if you end up having somebody who is a valid poster, and as long as his reputation is in the green, after, say, 200 posts, 300 posts, 400 posts, whatever, you don't leave it up to Maud's Monster to decide anything. He is bound by law. Essentially, you allow everybody to be in the VIP who is contributing to Stumbling, not as your own little private club where you get to go ahead and decide anything. Now, Moz Monster wants his own private secret Tari Corral where nobody except Moz Monster can post. That's fine by me. That's fine by me. But fact of the matter is, Moz Monster needs to be under rule of law as well. Not allowed to go ahead and run wild here because a bunch of people don't give a shit about what happens to reform anymore. If you people are tired, go ahead and sell your share. And what happens is I'd buy half of it today. And then go ahead and give the give a quarter share to whoever you want. Other than Expert, of course. And other than Nappy, of course. Let me see. Expert Nappy. And what happens? Any four-fag feed shit dog. I mean, no four-fag shit dogs, no Jews, no hybrid niggers. But, I might go ahead and give it to, give a share to Ananuki or Octopussy or whatever here. You know what I mean? But, shoot. If you guys don't want to go ahead, you're like Jaybird, you don't want to go ahead and run for them, let Stumbling go ahead and continue. Because guess what? Over the last couple months, ODs has died. Fade went ahead for the 666th time, went ahead and nuked his little Tard Corral of the forum. He's working his fingers to the bone. Well, I guess he's more like working his boner on his fingers here. You know what I mean? None of the stupid crap. And Moz Monster needs to learn that he is bound by law too. Because what happens, Moz Monster doesn't know how to behave. In a real life white civilization, essentially Moz Monster would be living on eggshells because since he doesn't know how to behave and he misbehaves, he can go ahead and be killed just right then and there when he misbehaves here. Now, it don't affect Appy because Appy's so freaking stupid. Moz Monster is smart enough, even though he doesn't really have much character, to sort of know better. I've had Moz Monster lie to me and lie to me and lie to me and lie to me. What law? Essentially, the law that goes ahead. See, I believe that, I said before, Yahweh's law, the law's written on your heart. What happens is we don't need police. In fact, police are a recent invention here. First of them came around in 1840 or so, and they were called bobbies because people said, whose pigs are these? And they said, why, they're bobbies. They're Robert Peel's. They're Bobby's pigs. And having police was not a popular thing back in the day. People couldn't understand why you even needed them. Whose pigs are they? Well, they're Bobby's. They're Bobby's pigs. And they were made to understand that they were to act as an adjunct to civilization. Now, folks, if you believe that, I believe that nigger societies are inherently lawless. I believe that Jew societies are inherently lawless. I believe that white societies are inherently lawful. The reason they're lawful is because even whether you call yourself a Christian or not, the law of Yahweh is written on your heart. And most of what we went ahead and call Christianity is essentially the way we are made up, whether or not we go ahead and admit it or not. Now, most times people don't want to go ahead and claim to be Christian, and I don't care whether you claim to be Christian or not here. In fact, in many cases, I just said you were a solipsist, if that's what you are. But I do believe that white people are inherently lawful and that they go ahead and they create societies. And when you end up having evil Uyghurs and Jews and Mamzers get a hold of it and it becomes an empire, that's when everybody's life is in danger, including the Jews, including the Mamzers. But who cares about them? Especially the white people. Anyway, folks, no, it ain't ironic here. Damn hybrid niggers are the worst pigs here. It's not ironic at all. I'm going to go ahead and shoot. My computer on the other side hand here has gone ahead and died. But I'm going to go ahead and, log in. I'm going to go ahead and play the flooring guy because I think I've pretty well covered everything. I think 4 hours is more than enough. And, essentially, you know, what I said here, I mean, people don't like it. Well, you know, tough shit here. I mean, if you resemble these remarks, well, hey, it's because you do resemble these remarks. If you don't like them, well, hey, that's because you have reason not to like it. Anyway, go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and play the Florian Geyer. And then we're going to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and call it quits. And I'm going to go ahead and close the chat room because, you know, rather have people keep the chat room open forever and ever and ever here so that people can't go ahead and download the thing. So essentially, I'm going to go ahead and end the call pretty quick. But first, we're going to go ahead and play the Florian Geyer. Okay? White and clad in black are we, aye, aye, oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, aye, aye, oh. White and go, revolt ho, on the city roots, let the red cock grow. White and go, civil war ho, on the corn outlaws, let red blood flow. When Adam fell, and Eve this man, Kyrie-lay-i, all who was ever ruling man, Kyrie-lay-i. Why they don't revolt ho, on the city roof, let the red cock grow. Why they go, civil war ho, on the corn outlaws, let red blood flow. For why can their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. Our dogling necks, we stop our boots to stamp out Castro. Why they go, revolt ho, on the city roof, let the red cock grow. Why they go, civil war ho, on the court outlaws, let red blood flow. The regime of only love who scream, hi-yi-yo. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-yo. Why they go, revolt ho, on the filthy roof, let the red cock grow. Why they go, civil war ho, on the corn outlaws, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our causes right, hi-yi-yo. Our guns won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-yo. Why they go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock grow. Why they go, civil war ho, on the court outlaws, let red blood flow. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and cut it short. Now, I'm going to say, well, not short, it's been 4 hours. I'm going to say, hail victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.